DNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
This is AMEM, the Alpha Male Entertainment Network. From Humidor 1A in the Cigar City of Tampa, Florida, USA. Welcome to the Cigar Dave Show, your weekly excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Well, I'm almost recovered from my upper respiratory infection, bronchitis, and I am just about recovered from all these Super Bowl Sunday festivities. The Chiefs defeat the San Francisco Rice-A-Roni 49ers. I'll get to that in just a little bit. A lot to get to today. Hard to believe that we are just about a week away from Valentine's Day. So in the second hour, we'll be joined by noted author Laura Korn, Lauralicious, author of 101 Nights of Great Romance, 101 Nights of Great Sex. We'll be talking about Valentine's Day, which is, of course, the Super Bowl for Dames. We have regular Super Bowl, followed by the Super Bowl for Dames. We'll give you all the guidance and advice you need. Long Ash greetings and salutations. A Long Ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Screw Nancy Pelosi. Nasty Nancy. Putrid Pelosi. Screw the Dems. And as always, your five-star global general and alpha male-in-chief coming to you from Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City. I am locked, loaded, 2 hours of alpha male broadcast pleasure maneuvers coming your way.
This is the Cigar Dave's News Bulletin.
As you all know, cigars have been under attack, oh, at least by the FDA, going back 10-plus years. The cigar industry has been fighting with the FDA. The FDA, probably 4 or 5 years ago, deemed that cigars would be overseen by their regulations as part of the Family Smoking Tobacco Act that the Obama administration and the Dems, the taxocrats, passed a number of years ago. So the industry has been fighting with the FDA on numerous fronts, on the warning label front. The FDA's wanted big warning labels, not only on packaging, but on all advertising, going back where you've got to schedule it out over a year in advance. They've wanted to tax various cigars. They've wanted to basically take cigars and test every single size, shape for all sorts of chemical components, and that would add tons of costs. If you had a cigar that was not out by a certain date, then it was not deemed to be grandfathered, and you'd have to submit an application to the FDA. Bureaucratic BS to the max. All bureaucrats all the time, led by Mitch Zealot Zeller, who heads the FDA Tobacco Control Division. Now, you would think under the Trump administration, They would say, enough is enough already. But it doesn't work that way. And the reason it doesn't is because we have these entrenched bureaucrats that believe that they have the divine and sole right to dictate legislative policy. When they don't, they're an unelected bureaucracy. I don't care who the president is. Taxocrat, Republican, independent, makes no difference. Unfortunately, in Washington, we have this giant, huge, entrenched bureaucracy, and it seems that no president and Congress can't even get rid of it. And that is a huge problem. When President Trump says we need to drain the swamp, drain the bureaucrats first. That would be a very good step. So the FDA has been battling, the cigar industry has been battling the FDA. There have been numerous lawsuits filed by a number of parties. This past week, U.S. District Court Judge Amit Mehta ruled in favor of the premium cigar industry in one of the lawsuits that the cigar industry, the Cigar Association of America, the Cigar Rights of America, the International Premium Cigar and Pipe Retailers Association, now known as the Premium Cigar Association, and even some retailers in Texas, and Fuego Tobacco Shop, as well as some other distributors and retailers in Texas, brought suit against the FDA. And one of the items they brought suit against was the FDA's warning requirements, or requirements to put giant warning labels on cigars and cigar boxes, cigar advertising. Let's go back. Before we tell you about this decision, let's go back. July 2018, 1.5 years ago, Judge Mehta ruled at the time to indefinitely delay the implementation of cigar warning labels, invalidating the FDA's August 8, 2018 requirement that would have required warning labels on all cigar boxes and advertising. So he essentially gave an indefinite stay, an indefinite delay until he could look at the case in detail. Because remember, the FDA immediately came out and said, okay, here are all these new requirements, and amongst them, you have to come out with testing. There is going to be user fees, more taxes on you to enjoy cigars to fund the bureaucracy. And then there would have been an August 8, 2018 warning label deadline. Judge Mehta at the time said, I'm going to indefinitely delay that. So he does. That brings us to this week, where Judge Mehta ruled that the lawsuit filed by the Cigar Association, the IPCPR, the CRA against the FDA, he basically came out and said that the warning label requirement is nixed. Now, these warning label requirements would have required cigar boxes to have warning labels affixed to at least two, what they call, and I'm using in quotes here, principal panels of the box. And that was translated to primarily the top lid and the front side. Additionally, all advertising, broadcast, internet, print, would have required warning labels, warning messages that covered 20% of the advertising space or the advertising time. And here's the other kicker. The FDA wanted cigar companies to submit warning label plans on a quarter-by-quarter basis 12 months in advance, meaning companies would have to basically have their advertising campaigns created a year in advance before they were even set to be displayed or even launch a product, which is ridiculous. It's absurd. In many cases, a manufacturer will come out with a product or they will create a campaign around a certain event, a certain product, whatever the case may be, and it may only be 2, 3, 4 weeks until they actually create the campaign, the advertisement, the campaign, whatever the case is. But again, the FDA has these ridiculous bureaucratic requirements. And we all know that as cigar connoisseurs, one of the just most wonderful parts about being a cigar connoisseur is the fact that when you look at cigar boxes, when you look at cigar bands, they are creative works of art. This isn't like buying just some packaged good. there is a tremendous amount of creativity, amount of art, amount of design that goes into this element. This isn't something recent. Cigar boxes have always been known for their incredible artwork, their elaborate detail, going back over 100 years. Look at cigar boxes from the late 1800s, from the early 1900s. They are intricate works of art. The cigar band is a work of art. Nobody just slaps a plain brown or black band with white or black typing on it that says Monte Cristo or Arturo Fuente or Rocky Patel or Padron. The manufacturers take great pride in the cigar artwork that goes on the band, that goes on the box. This isn't just an afterthought. In many cases, the cigar band, the cigar box, the design, the logo, the artwork will take over a year, sometimes 2-3 years, to properly design. So as cigar connoisseurs, the last thing we want to see is what we see in Canada and other countries, where it's just a generic box with giant warning labels. And in Canada's case, the cigar band consists of basically a brown or a black band with white text on it. That's it. Ugly, ugly, ugly. So that brings us to this week. Judge Maeda ruled on the lawsuit, and he evaluated claims of preclusion. What does that mean? Well, in short, basically, the FDA, in their response to the Texas lawsuit, they said that the Texas lawsuit was not valid because the plaintiffs all had ties to the plaintiffs of the lawsuit that was filed in Washington, D.C. by the Cigar Rights of America, the IPCPR, and the Cigar Association of America. Now, the FDA has tried to use that argument to get the Texas lawsuit, which really deals with how premium cigars should be regulated differently than mass market cigars. But he denied the FDA's claims. And he summarized the cigar industry's challenges, three items, basically. Number one, he looked at the warning labels and the 12-month process by which they must be submitted and approved. The cigar manufacturers said that violates their First Amendment rights. That was the first item that the judge had to look at. The second item he had to look at that the cigar manufacturers brought up was that the FDA's warning label plan was arbitrary, was capricious, and violated the APA, the Administrative Procedure Act, a law that dictates how agencies like the FDA come up with rules and how they enforce rules. Had to look at that. And then he had to look at the argument that because the law was not signed by the person with the right title, the entire law should be thrown out. So, Judge Maeda had to look at all three arguments. In the first, basically he threw that out. He said, no, that doesn't violate the warning labels, and the 12-month process does not violate the First Amendment right of the cigar manufacturers. He threw out the third, saying, okay, it may have been somebody with the wrong title, but that in and of itself isn't enough. But Judge Maeda ruled in favor of the second claim that said the FDA's warning label plan was arbitrary, was capricious, and violated the Administrative Procedure Act. And he said that the FDA's rulemaking was not the product of reasoned decision-making, therefore it violates the APA. He also argued that the FDA's decision, going back a number of years, to consider whether premium cigars should be exempted from any deeming regulations, something that was included in what they call the Option 1, Option 2 choice in 2014, where Option 1 cigars would be totally, I believe it was Option 1 or 2, one of the two options was cigars would be totally excluded from any regulation, premium cigars. And the second was a premium cigar was defined, I think, as a cigar that was over $10. But the mere fact that the FDA looked at it, the judge said that the agency at the time understood that premium cigars are different than mass market cigars. So the judge chastised the FDA not only for their lack of evidence, not only for their arguments in regards to the health dangers of premium cigars, but also said that the FDA was throwing off inconsistent signs. whether the agency even wants to continue regulating premium cigars. Because a number of weeks ago, I think within a month or so, the FDA said that premium cigars are in the bottom of the totem pole. Vaping, cigarettes, those are the areas that they wanted to focus on. I mean, the FDA basically comes out and says, yeah, we still have the law, but we're not really, you know, spending time on it. It's really the lowest priority on our list. Now, the judge's decision will now force the FDA to define what constitutes a premium cigar. Very important. What is a premium cigar? The industry has stated, primarily, a premium cigar contains long filler. There is no homogenized tobacco leaf. It contains long fillers, meaning it is long fillered, and it is hand-rolled or hand-finished, meaning the wrapper is placed on by hand. And that was put in because the J.C. Newman factory, which does use some long filler, they have machine-made cigars that use long filler tobacco, but the wrapper is placed on finished by hand, where they actually have to place the wrapper on the machine, and it is a tobacco leaf. It's not homogenized tobacco. They put it on. That would allow the J.C. Newman factory, the last remaining really large cigar factory in the cigar city of Tampa, to continue operating and making cigars that are defined as premium cigars. Does the FDA put a price? Do they say, well, premium cigars will be considered anything over $10 wholesale or $15 or $20 retail? So these are all very important questions. But the FDA itself described them as relatively expensive, large hand-rolled cigars that do not have flavors. No fruit flavors, no blueberry, no cotton candy, no mint, no vanilla. So these are important items that have to be looked at. The FDA can appeal this ruling. Don't know whether they will. I have a feeling the Justice Department will sit down with the FDA saying, this is low priority. We really don't want to focus on this. So let's kick out the label. And in fact, the FDA may come out and say, because there's been a lot of congressional pressure on the FDA to exclude premium cigars from deeming regulations and from all these requirements of testing the cigars and from registering the cigars and getting the ingredients improved, and all the ingredients are is really just natural tobacco. But it would cost the industry huge amounts of money, and more importantly, it would be humongous bureaucratic delays and paperwork that every manufacturer would have to endure. So we're at a very important crossroads. Does the FDA, knowing that they've got a vaping issue and a vaping problem, do they look and say, premium cigars are enjoyed by adults, they're not consumed by children, they're not marketed to children, children don't buy $5, $10 cigars. Do we look and say, we don't have a health issue, we don't have major issues that need to be addressed compared to vaping and cigarette, and that premium cigars are smoked entirely differently than cigarettes or vaping? We know that we as cigar connoisseurs do not smoke cigars for the nicotine content. Here's a perfect case in point. It has been exactly 1 month, 4 weeks, since I came down with an upper respiratory infection, which turned into bronchitis, which turned into some junk in my lungs that I am finally getting rid of because I was put on antibiotics earlier this week because my viral infection turned into a bacterial infection in my lungs. I have not had a cigar for 4 weeks. I have not desired a cigar for 4 weeks. Why? Well, number one, the last thing I want to do is exacerbate my bronchitis or any junk in my lungs, even though I don't inhale cigars. But the last thing I want to do is be around cigar smoke or any type of smoke. In fact, I've been into the Davidoff store to go see Tommy D once in the last 4 weeks, which is unusual. I'm normally there umpteen times, sometimes several times a day, because they are so close to the studios and executive offices of the Alpha Male Entertainment Network and Command Center Alpha. I've been in there once, just for a few minutes. So the last thing I want to do is exacerbate any cough that I have. I want to get rid of this thing. Second thing is, why don't I have an urge to smoke a cigar? Because I'm not addicted to nicotine. I don't smoke cigars for nicotine. You don't smoke cigars for nicotine. We smoke cigars for the flavor, the pleasure, the aroma, the relaxation. Nobody goes out and spends $100 for a bottle of wine to get drunk. You go out and buy a top-shelf bottle of wine or a bottle of cognac because you want to enjoy and savor the experience. You want to enjoy the taste, the aroma. You want to kick back. You don't buy a $100 bottle of wine to knock it down in 10 minutes. It's the same thing with a cigar. We don't buy a cigar and say, great, let me puff as hard as I can and as fast as I can so that I'm done with the cigar in 5 minutes. Cigars are not cigarettes. People will light a cigar or cigarette and they'll knock that thing down in a minute because they need their nicotine fix, not cigars. The FDA knows damn well that cigars are consumed by adults. They are marketed to adults. Kids do not smoke cigars. They do not purchase premium cigars. The FDA knows this. They already know the health data, the fact that the average cigar connoisseur that smokes premium cigars may smoke 1 to 2 cigars per week. That's it. They know that premium cigar connoisseurs don't inhale. They know that premium cigar connoisseurs do not smoke cigars for the nicotine. You don't see cigar connoisseurs running off an airplane or huddled outside of a building in snow or rain or thunderstorms lighting their cigar to get their cigar fix in the middle of the day. Doesn't happen. The FDA knows this. The FDA knows it. They know there's been pressure on them. And the reality is the FDA has much bigger fish to fry, as evidenced by the vaping issues and the vaping epidemic and the vaping lung issues and health issues that have come up the last 6 months. They've never had those issues with cigars. They've been talking about regulating cigars now for 5 years. There's enough pressure in the courts, in Congress, even from the executive branch to say, enough's enough. We do not need to regulate premium cigars. Let us hope that the FDA, after this loss, let us hope they will all regroup and say, you know what, we've wasted our time on deeming regulations for premium cigars. Let's end it. Now, there are other lawsuits that are, or parts of the lawsuits still that are in force, that are still waiting to be heard, primarily over substantial equivalence, which is set to launch on May 12, 2020. And what that essentially means is that any cigar that is on the market or was on the market by a certain date had to show that it was substantially equivalent to any cigar going back to the initial deeming regulations, which I think was like 8 years ago. And the cigar industry is saying that's ridiculous. That is nonsense going back 8 years before cigars were even deemed. I have a feeling the FDA is going to lose that case as well. So we will keep an eye on things, but good news. The cigars that we love, the cigar boxes we love, and the cigar bands that we love, and the artwork we so much appreciate, they will not be touched or ruined by the FDA.
You need to add some alpha to your Facebook news feed. By following The General, you'll get the latest intel in the world of cigars, info on the show each week, and see what The General is smoking. Click like at facebook.com/CigarDave.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
The Cigar Dave Show resumes in 5, 4, 3, 2. And beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
No cigar litation for me. This is now the fourth week in a row that I've not had any cigar or cigar litation. And the reason is simple. Got to get rid of this upper respiratory infection, almost gone. The bronchitis. Want to make sure it's fully gone before I properly enjoy a cigar. However, libations, good for the throat. In fact, I've selected, even though I can't have cigars, or I'm not that I can't, but I'm choosing not to have a cigar until I fully have recovered. But I've got something that has cigar significance. First up, I'm going to be enjoying a cognac. I talked about cognac in the first part of the show. What is cognac? It is a variety of brandy that is named after a region in France, the Cognac region of France, surrounded by the wine-growing region that grows white grapes. And cognac production, very interesting. Cognac must be distilled twice and aged at least 2 years in French oak barrels from Limousin or Francais. Cognac matures the same way as wine or whiskies. And when we think about cognac, people don't realize that cognac is from grapes. Again, you can distill anything. You can use, whether it is for whiskey, whether it's barley, whether it is bourbon, it is corn. You can use rye. Anything that grows, you can certainly ferment and eventually distill. The white wine used in making cognac is a very dry, acidic, very thin grape. Virtually undrinkable, but it's excellent for distillation and aging. And I've selected a very unique cognac from a very unique house of cognac. It is from the House of Hein. Started fermenting cognac in 1763, the House of Hein. 250 plus years of creating excellent cognac. Thomas Hein and Company. And one of the cognacs they created 10 years ago to pair with cigars. It was a collaboration between Bernard Hein and Nicholas Freeman of Hunters and Frankow, which is the big Cuban cigar importer in the UK. They wanted to find a perfect match between cigars and cognacs. They created the Hein XO Cigar Reserved Cognac. XO means extra old. Now, there are different types and grades of cognac. There's VS, very special. The youngest cognac has been stored at least 2 years in the cask. VSOP, very superior old pale, meaning the youngest brandy or the youngest cognac is stored at least 4 years in cask. And then there is XO, extra old, or Napoleon, a blend which the youngest cognac stored at least 6 years. However, the minimum age of the youngest cognac used in the XO blend was increased in April 2018 to 10 years. So now when you have an XO, it's got to be at least 10 years. So this Hein XO is aged for at least 10 years. It's a beautiful looking cognac, nice bottle. Almost looks like a wine bottle if you look at it. It has a very nice deep orange amber hue to it. And I will pour a little bit here into my snifter, my cognac snifter. Just looking at this, a very deep amber tone on the nose. It's interesting. A little bit of woodiness, some cinnamon, almost a little tobacco as well. All right, let me swirl this around and let me say, cheers. Wow. Some very nice warmth. Little honey-like flavor. Some spiciness. Wow. Some very nice warmth on the way down. Very pleasant. Now, this is not an inexpensive cognac. About $145 suggested retail. So, not the kind of cognac you would have every day, but for special occasions with a special cigar. And this would go beautifully with a medium-bodied or full-flavored cigar, especially a Maduro. Take another sip. Absolutely delightful. All right, my Hein XO Cigar Reserve Cognac, front and center here. And I've got a full bottle here, but I will tell you that I'm only going to use it sparingly. Again, not the type of cognac that I'm going to just pour every day. Same thing with a premium cigar. You don't go out and say, I'm just going to smoke 10 premium cigars a day. It doesn't happen. The FDA knows this. We as premium cigar connoisseurs enjoy cigars in moderation. Very pleasant. All right, so now I've got my fine cognac. And by the way, if you want to try the Hein Rare and Delicate VSOP, runs about $70, $65. Also very, very good. Hein is one of those houses of cognac. You know, you think of cognac, you think of Hennessy, Remy Martin, Courvoisier, but you don't think of Hein. Very, very nice, very pleasant indeed. All right. Last week was the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers. I made a prediction at the end of last week's show. So did Colonel Ann. Sergeant Steve, let's play that prediction, please. I say the Chiefs 34, the 49ers 20. Go Chiefs. Mahomes should have been the Bills quarterback. Don't get me started on that. Well, well, well. I predicted 34-20. What was the final score, Sergeant Steve, if you will, please?
31-20.
Yes, 31-20. Talk about almost a dead nuts on prediction. I did cover, and I had two prop bets, by the way. Well, one prop bet I made, I took the Chiefs and the points, so I won outright on that. Didn't win nothing huge, but I did do a $50 prop bet that Patrick Mahomes would score the first touchdown. And basically, I figured, okay, what's the chances he's going to do that, right? And I think it paid $600 or $700. So not a bad day indeed. But my prediction of 34-20, damn close. Chiefs win 31-20. Next year, the Super Bowl is in the Cigar City of Tampa. So it'll be easy for me to go and catch the Bills as they play the representative of the NFC in next year's Super Bowl. Now, here's a question that I pose to all of you. Should the Super Bowl be moved so that we play it on Saturday? We call it Super Bowl Saturday instead of Super Bowl Sunday. And I believe it should. Because let's face it, Super Bowl Sunday now, the game doesn't start till like 6:30, 6:40. It doesn't end till 11 o'clock. You've had all this food, then you got to wind down. And by the time you wind down, it's like 1 in the morning. And then you get up the next day and you're shot. You're toast. So I am making the novel suggestion to the National Football League that they move Super Bowl from Sunday to Saturday. We have Super Bowl Saturday. Now think about this. You still play it at the same time, but you have all day Saturday to get ready for it. Now, I don't watch the 28-hour pregame show. I avoid that. I turn it on 10 minutes before it's ready to go, and that's it. And the halftime show, waste of time. Just get me the game. Could care less. But if we move the Super Bowl to Saturday, now you have all day Saturday to prepare. You still have your day. You get ready. You have the big Super Bowl parties on Saturday. Most everybody doesn't have to go to work Sunday. You can stay up as late as you want. You can sleep in on Sunday. You have a light day Sunday. You have Sunday to recuperate. So we make it a giant party. Super Bowl Saturday. It's like a Saturday night extravaganza. Sunday you recuperate. Monday you go back to work like nothing ever happened. I believe the time is now to move Super Bowl from Sunday to Saturday. Sergeant Steve, your thoughts?
I would love that, but they won't do it.
Why?
Television.
But
Saturday night is the lowest rated night of the week. Friday night, actually, I think, is. Saturday's next as far as television ratings.
Not so fast, my friend. That is correct. But remember, the Super Bowl is must-see viewing. It's kind of like a Bass Pro Shops.
It is.
If you have a Bass Pro in your city, whether it's 100 miles away, you're going. It's a destination-type store.
Right.
Same thing with the Super Bowl. They move it to Saturday, Sergeant Steve. They won't miss a beat.
Well, you say that, but even a 5% drop in television ratings means a lot of money when you're dealing with 100 million people.
I think the viewership would go up because now people would plan around it. People would stay up later.
But what about people that have weddings or other events that they plan?
Sergeant Steve, weddings come secondary after the Super Bowl. If we make it a national holiday where people look and say, okay, the first Saturday of February is always Super Bowl Saturday. People could look, I plan my travel schedule around the Buffalo Bills. I do not travel when the Bills are playing. It's that simple.
I told my wife when we decided that we were going to get married, I said, you can pick any time of the year except September, October, November, and March.
March Madness.
Because I'm a college football fan. That's my favorite sport. So college football months and March Madness. You can pick any other month you want. That's what I told her. She was fine with it.
Outstanding. That's right. Well, you're the alpha. You run the show anyway.
Exactly.
You got 50.1% of the vote, so it's relatively moot.
I believe it's more than 50.1, but
they're good. As long as you have 50.1, as long as you have controlling interest, you are good to go. The Cigar Dave Officers Club, for January has, of course, shipped out the Alec and Bradley Gatekeeper. I will smoke that next Saturday on the show, 1 week from today. Beautiful cigar. Very, very, just getting great accolades. The members of the Officers Club that receive them getting emails saying, General, love this cigar. Very unique. Great collaboration between Alec and Bradley Rubin and Ernesto Perez Carrillo. So fabulous cigar, and we're following it up with a wonderful selection from Crowned Heads. It is the Crowned Heads Vertical Officers Club Sampler for February. Three cigars. First up is going to be the Crowned Heads Jericho Hill. This is an ode to the man in black. Hello, everyone. I'm Johnny Cash. And I tell you, the Crowned Head Jericho Hill has a magnificent, sultry, deep, spicy, rich Mexican San Andrean Morón wrapper. It's got beautiful fillers, just a very nice medium to full-bodied cigar. Then we're going to offer you the Crown Heads La Imperiosa Magicos, which is a very nice Robusto, or actually it's a Rothschild. It's almost a mini Robusto, 4.5 by 52. It's a nice squatty little cigar. And then we cap it off with the Crown Heads Juarez OBS. Also, a collaboration between John Huber and Mike Condor of Crown Heads, and Ernesto Perez Carrillo of Tabacalera Alianza. Beautiful cigar. We've got three fantastic cigars. That this one also uses a Mexican San Andreas Morón wrapper. The Morón wrapper, outstanding. Fantastic. Can't get enough of it. Three great cigars coming February, coming your way probably around February 16th to the 20th, somewhere around there. If you are not a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club, we've got loads of great selections coming your way for the rest of 2020. So go to CigarDave.com, $22.95 per month. Gets you three fantastic cigars sent to you per month in a Cigar Dave Officers Club Ziploc pouch that you can reuse. Great way to carry your cigars. You will love these cigars. We started the year, have started the year with a great offering in January from Alec and Bradley, their Gatekeeper, and now three great cigars for February from Crown Heads, their Jericho Hill, their La Imperioso, and their Juarez. Absolutely fantastic. Second hour, right around the corner, we've got Laura Korn, author of 101 Nights of Great Romance, 101 Nights of Great Sex, that will be coming your way, our way, as we talk about Valentine's Day. Super Bowl for dames, Super Bowl for women. Their big night. I mean, this is their Super Bowl. So consequently, gentlemen, we're going to give you all the ideas, the tips that you need. You don't have to spend a lot of money. Remember, dames always say it's the thought that counts. So there you go. Just pretend like you give a damn. As long as you pretend and they think that you give a damn, you'll be just fine. Whether it's for your harem of one, your harem of 32, your harem of 50, or in Willard Mitt Romney's case, his harem, I don't even know how many wives does Mitt even have? I mean, being that he's from Utah, how many does, by the way, his name is not Mitt. Nobody is named Mitt. His name is Willard Romney. Now, Mitt, is that short for Mittens? But Willard Mittens, what a vote. What a vote by Mitt. What an absolute, now all of a sudden, Willard Mittens Romney, who had the opportunity running against Ted Kennedy, murderer, Massachusetts, in a Senate election, had him in the polls, but in a debate couldn't put him away. Why? Because Willard Mittens is a poussoir. Meow, meow. He's a little kitty cat. No nads. No balls. Loses to the murderer from Massachusetts, Ted Kennedy. Goes up against Barack Obama, runs for president. First debate, has him. Second debate, that's the time to put it away, finish it, put the nail in the coffin, end it. Mitt doesn't have the intestinal fortitude, doesn't have the alphaness, didn't respond when Candy Crowley, there was some, I can't remember in the debate, something was brought up, and it escapes me right now, but it was brought up, and Candy Crowley, something about terrorists, and Candy Crowley said, oh, no, Barack Obama's right. She was wrong. And Mitt just stood there. Willard Mittens just stood there, clueless. Didn't have the ability to punch back. And that's really what it boils down to. He's jealous that Donald Trump has giant nads of steel. When a Democrat punches Donald Trump in the nads, not only does he kick him in the nads, he kicks him right up the tuchus and then in their teeth. Willard Mittens Romney couldn't put away Barack Obama, had no nads, no balls, couldn't put away Ted Kennedy. But now all of a sudden, Willard Mittens Romney is a big shot. All of a sudden now, he's going to come out with big balls and vote for the impeachment of Donald Trump on one of the counts. It's nothing more than jealousy. Romney is the same guy that founded Bain Capital. Let's talk about Bain Capital. Romney loves to talk about what God told him and that he has to do what's right in God's eyes. Gee, Willard Mittens, when Bain Capital bought all those companies over the years, levered them up, paid too much, levered those companies to the hilt, in many cases companies that had no debt, but leveraged them to the hilt, and then tanked the company, cut costs, eliminated workers, then, by then it was too late, took those companies Chapter 11. What did God tell you then? He loves to hide behind the Lord, loves to hide behind the fact that he's such a decent human being. He is full of baloney. What does it say when a guy has to move to umpteen states to get elected? Couldn't get elected in Massachusetts. Couldn't win as president. So he has to go to Utah, where, I don't know, maybe he had a house, maybe he had some of his polygamy harem. I don't know. And I don't care. But when a guy has to be a carpetbagger to move and try to win, and by the way, President Trump actually endorsed him and I believe campaigned for him or came out with some tweets saying he has my full endorsement. That's how you repay the president? You're a phony. You're a fraud, Willard Mittens. You're not named Mitt. Nobody's named Mitt. Your name is Willard. So why don't you go by Willard Romney? That's your real name. So tell me, Willard Mittens, when Bain Capital was tanking all those companies, which they continue to do today, tell me, did you have such a moral soul? Were you so concerned about all those employees that got whacked because your firm went out and overpaid for a company, leveraged it to the hilt with debt unpayable that you knew from day one, but yet continue to get giant fees. And when you went Chapter 11, you at Bain Capital all came out smelling like roses. Willard Mittens Romney is full of baloney. Total, absolute, unadulterated fraud. Screw him. And I hope that the GOP remembers him in terms of his vote. And I know that Mitch McConnell came out and said, well, I still need him on the next vote. We're not going to do this or that. Bottom line, and by the way, Sergeant Steve, I know I got to take a break. I know I went a little long here. Bottom line is, Mitt should be ostracized. The people of Utah, recall him. Nobody's named Mitt. It's Willard Mittens Romney. No balls, no nads, but now all of a sudden, he's a big mocker. He's a zero. End of discussion.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to cigarrights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, cigarrights.org.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club has been en fuego, on fire with marvelous selections, and we continue that trend for February. We feature a full-flavored selection of Crowned Head's unique artisanal quality cigars. First up, the Jericho Hill, dedicated to the man in black. Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. Jericho Hill, the first Nicaraguan cigar from Crown Heads. It's wrapped in a Mexican San Andrean Maduro wrapper. Rich, dark, delivers medium to full-flavored attitude. Then we feature the La Imperiosa. Buckle up. It's a seriously full-flavored beauty. Ecuadorian Habano Oscuro wrapper ignites massive notes of pepper. And then we wrap it up with Juarez, inspired by Jericho Hill. But Juarez amps up the strength, delivering notes of spice and sweetness. $22.95 per month. You get three great cigars like the Crown Heads full-flavored sampler. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join the Officers Club today.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Just finishing up on Willard Mittens Romney. It seems that Mr. Perfect, Willard Mittens, was caught doing something prohibited on the Senate floor during the impeachment hearing. He was caught drinking chocolate milk out of a bottle on the Senate floor. A breach of Senate impeachment trial rules. Under the rules, senators only allowed to drink milk and water, and the beverages must be consumed out of a glass. Well, good old Perfect Mitt, drinking chocolate milk out of a bottle. A Senate aide informed Mittens he was in violation of the rules. He left the chamber, returning with the chocolate milk in a glass that was inspected and deemed to be acceptable. Well, I say that violation is unacceptable. Oh, and his wife said that chocolate milk is Mitt's guilty pleasure. What an exciting guy that Willard Mittens. Chocolate milk. How about dames? How about cigars? How about some booze? He's a fraud. Quit, Mitt.
Hour one of the Cigar Dave Show is now complete. There's time to refresh your cocktail. As the General will return in 7 minutes.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Democrats hitting the hustings in New Hampshire this weekend, trying to find that one key that'll lock up a win on Tuesday. The candidates are increasingly taking shots at each other in their bid to come out ahead of a crowded field. Former Vice President Joe Biden said he can secure a victory for Democrats in November and won't require any on-the-job training if he's elected.
I have a great deal of respect for Mayor Pete and his service to the nation, but I do not believe we're a party at risk if they nominate me, and I do believe we're a party at risk if we nominate someone who's never held a higher office than the mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
And Pete Buttigieg says he can feel the momentum after the Iowa caucuses.
We can feel how close we are. We can feel the wind at our back. I feel like there's a system sweeping into the region, coming out of a good win in the Midwest, which we're very excited about. But knowing that New Hampshire is New Hampshire, and folks think for themselves here.
Former Trump advisor and Salem Radio Network talk host Dr. Sebastian Gorka says the president's high approval numbers are a significant measure of his support among American voters, despite the months of impeachment pressure.
It's rather strange. It's as if we're in an alternate universe that the president has the highest approval ratings since the inauguration, and that's the day that the Democrats wanted to remove him from office.
Mainland China's death toll from the new virus outbreak has risen to 811, surpassing the number of fatalities in the 2002-2003 SARS pandemic. However, the number of new cases reported over the last 24 hours on Sunday fell significantly from the previous period, and that's something experts see as a sign the spread of the virus may be slowing down, if just a bit. More news, more analysis at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here for Refactor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Boeing's confirmed securities regulators are investigating the company in connection with the 737 MAX, which was grounded after two deadly crashes.
Boeing said in preparing financial statements it made assumptions about the outcome of accident investigations and the expected costs it would bear in 2020 and 2021 from the MAX's grounding. It didn't disclose those assumptions, but said they are, quote, highly uncertain and significantly affect the estimates inherent in our financial statements. Boeing disclosed the Securities and Exchange Commission investigation in a recent regulatory filing.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. The filing provides few details of the probe beyond saying Boeing's cooperating with government investigations, including those by the Justice Department and the SEC. Boeing said it cannot estimate possible losses that could result from lawsuits and investigations. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Suicides among the active-duty Air Force personnel surged last year to the highest total in at least three decades.
This even as the other military services saw their numbers stabilize or decline, according to officials and unpublished preliminary data. The reasons for the Air Force increase are not fully understood, coming after years of efforts by all of the military services to counter a problem that seems to defy solution and that parallels increasing suicides in the U.S. civilian population. According to preliminary figures, the Air Force had 84 suicides among active-duty members last year, up from 60 the year before. Patrick Frost reporting.
A federal judge has thrown out a lawsuit that challenged Maryland's newly enacted ban on the sale of dogs and cats by retail pet stores. State lawmakers had billed the statute, which took effect on January 1st, as a check against unlicensed and unsanitary puppy mills. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is AMEM, the Alpha Male Entertainment Network. Broadcasting from Humidor 1A in the cigar city of Tampa, Florida, USA. Welcome to the Cigar Dave Show, your weekly excursion into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Not only do you come to me for expert advice on the alpha male lifestyle, cigars, spirits, diversions, dice, dames, you also come to me for guidance. As your five-star global general and alpha male in chief, you seek my knowledge, and you seek knowledge in many other areas, specifically dames, and we've got a very big event coming up next Friday. It is Valentine's Day. It is the Super Bowl for dames. And where else would you go for proper information? How to look like an absolute star with, whether it is your harem of one, your harem of 32, or your harem of 100, you come to your alpha male in chief. This hour, a very special guest, everything you need to know about the Super Bowl for dames Valentine's Day. It is indeed a very big day, and we have a very special guest. But as always, cue the music, cue the band, Sergeant Steve. We've got the great Johnny Mathis. Hello, I'm Johnny Mathis. Because we could not have the absolute expert when it comes to creating that proper Valentine's Day for your dame, all the expert guidance you will provide. It would not be the same unless we had Johnny Mathis to get her warmed up, to get her ready. And we are, it's just our honor, as always, to have luscious Laura Korn, sex coach to the stars, the author of 101 Nights of Great Sex, 101 Nights of Great Romance. She has sold millions of copies, Secret Sealed Seductions for Fun-Loving Couples, a new 2020 edition that promises hotter sex. Yes, hotter sexy time, my friends. Bigger surprises. I welcome the lovely Laura Korn, front and center.
Hello.
Greetings, Laura. Welcome once again to the Cigar Dave Show. I think this is about the 22nd or 23rd year in a row that you have joined us for Valentine's Day. And yet every year you get younger and younger.
I wonder how that works.
I have idea, and you're not going to tell.
I'm going to be honest. It's just great sex.
Fantastic sex. Oh,
I mean, it used to be three R's. Do you remember? I used to have great sex, and then it just became great sex.
Great sex.
It's great
sex.
Sealed
secrets. Anticipation.
Yes.
Seduction. It's not a book you read. It's a book you
book
do.
Book you do.
Now appearing on a screen near you, 101 Nights of Great Sex.
I always get butterflies because you speak my language. In fact, guys, listen up. Dave, the general, he is the king of all alphas. You are a major turn on.
Oh, really?
Just major.
Sergeant Steve, let's end the show right now. I got to hop on Alpha Army 1 for Los Angeles this second.
One of these days, I'm going to do one of these secret sealed seductions for you.
Oh, really?
I want to.
Oh, now you've piqued my interest.
Oh, I've piqued your interest, not
oh,
the
no,
last
Oh, no, you've piqued it many
years.
Times before, Laura. Come on.
Now, you know what? I've been teasing you. I've wanted to do the Velvet Tongue number 2 on you for... Well, is it 22 years?
Velvet Tongue number 2? Cannot wait.
But by the way, more so now than ever.
Well, I'll tell you what. Is that like the Aqua Velva Tongue? I mean, basically you put a little Aqua Velva on somewhere and you kind of go that way?
And if you even want to bring your harem, that would be okay with me too.
Oh, now see, that the number one item that every man wants, that ladies, listen up. If you want to really give your loved one the most memorable Valentine's Day gift ever, it's very simple. Get your man a threesome. It's a beautiful thing.
Or
what
a foursome.
What man is going to say no to that? Or foursome, fivesome, tensome?
You don't need no book. Don't buy another one. That's a great sex. Just get another woman.
What man would not? Can you imagine? Now, Laura, think about this for a second.
Wait. You know what? This is an interesting statistic. Most threesomes with women, this is a new statistic, involve another man.
Wait a minute. You're saying
so? Used to be the lady pawn. Used to be the number one female sexual fantasy. Now it's leaning towards being with two men.
So wait a minute. The number one male fantasy has got to be. I believe.
Yes, but it's Valentine's
Day. Two women with
Day.
One guy. So now you're saying women yes. want two men.
Yes. I know. Now, I am not in that camp. I would much prefer a woman.
If you could have 10 cloned of me, trust me, you'd want a tensome with the general. That would be 20 hands, 20 lips, 20 everything, if you know what I mean. Well, 40 on certain
You know
things.
What? I would, I'm not sure I'd want to share you the first time, though.
No, but if they were all the same me, if I was cloned,
there's
oh,
just
boy.
So much of you, though.
So much to take.
Nibble on and kiss and snuggle up to and
show wing.
But anyway, you know, can we segue over to yes, 101 Nights of Great Sex, the 2020 edition is out. It's very exciting. I completely revamped this book. It has hotter sex. You know what? You know you're going to love this. There is more bang for the buck.
Oh, it's all about
Do
the bang,
Do you love
sweetheart.
Me?
It's all about the bang.
And it used to be about the buck with you, too.
It still is about the buck because here's one thing that's very important. You do not have to go out and spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on your woman for Valentine's Day. Many things you can do don't really require a lot of money, but you've got to be creative because let's face it,
dames
love Valentine's Day. This
That's
is
right.
their Super Bowl. You can't fumble the ball on this one.
Nope.
Dames love it. Now, what I have found, and this is especially for the harem, like the harem will say, well, General, will I be spending Valentine's Day with you? And I said, you know, it's unfair for all the women to have to share me. Therefore, there won't be any Valentine's Day celebration. Because here's the thing. And this is very important. If you're not dating somebody seriously or it's casual, because remember, a lot of women sometimes will just try to find a guy because they don't want to be alone on Valentine's Day. So this is very important. Men, I've seen this. I have, and I know from personal experience, women will come out of the woodwork like a week or 2 weeks before Valentine's Day, just trying to start going out and dating, that all of a sudden you should go out and spend mega bucks on them when you're not even really that serious. So what I found is if you're not really serious with somebody or you're not really digging somebody or maybe they're just for the bedding, not the wedding, in that case what I say is tell them you're out of town, make yourself unavailable, because what they want is nothing more than for you to spend money on them. And I've had this happen where when I wasn't really interested in somebody, but it was like, okay, but nothing really serious. They all would want to go out on Valentine's Day. So this
can't blame them. Can't blame them.
Just make sure I was always made sure I was out of town and it worked like a charm. But
and by the way, can I just say something, guys? This Valentine's Day, billions, I have to say this, you know, you're talking about being creative. Creative is the name of the game. Romance is not rational. Great sex is not rational. And I'm going to explain. You know, hot sex is not really rational. You have to think outside the box in order to, you know, get inside the box, right?
So, inside the box, yes. That's every man's goal, inside the box.
Yeah, you do want to paint outside the box some of the times, but here we go. You know how many billions of dollars, General, is spent on candies and teddy bears and dinners? And guess what? Do you think if you walk in on Valentine's Day with some cheesy flowers that you got at the drugstore or a teddy bear, she's all of a sudden going to say, you know what? Oh, you shouldn't have. Oh, my God. Pin me to the sheets now. I mean, no. Is that creative? That's rational. No. Guys have to think irrational. Do something incredibly creative. So that's what I want you to think about, creative. Now, what would you do? Irrational. If you had a dame, let's say we were going to go out, how would you surprise me?
Well, I would bring about three dames and say, great. Here's the foursome, or the fivesome for tonight's surprise. Here we go. I'm thinking outside the box to get in the box.
You're thinking in a lot of boxes at this point.
No, but I'm going to give it exactly. But I'm going to.
You want to know something? I'm down.
Here's what I'm gonna do. You're down with it. I could go somewhere with that, but I will not because this is.
I'm down.
This is not a family show. Who are we kidding? This is for alphas who have been around. Like as Al Pacino said in Scent of a Woman, I've been around, you know. Let me give you a little. I'm going to give you all the alphas that are listening. Wait, I'm going to give you, and Luscious Laura, I'm going to give you this little tip.
Okay.
Here is a way I've been thinking about this. How to surprise your dame. Start a few days before. Maybe you start like 3 days before. What you do is you go to a Chinese restaurant. Go to Pai Wai, Pei Wei, whatever it is. You know, they have those little to-go containers with the little metal handle on them. And what you do is you get a whole bunch of fortune cookies. And what you do is you take a tweezers. You take the fortune out of the fortune cookies. You then take your own create your own little fortune. So maybe you want to surprise her. Again, it doesn't have to be a restaurant you take her to, whatever. But maybe you plan some special evening, whatever. But you want to get her. You want to get her excited. You want to get her on the moist side. You want to get her thinking, ooh, what does he have going on? So what you do is, starting 3 days before, you put write something on. You know, a very special, sultry night awaits.
I like that.
2/14. You stick that in the fortune cookie, and then what you do is you put a little paper or whatever on the bottom, and you stick the fortune cookie, and then you just leave it on her bed, or you send it to her, drop it off where she works in a bigger box. That's all you do. No other notes. Then you
How many guys are going to do that?
Well, listening to me,
you know what?
They will.
I love it.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Let me finish. Sorry. Let me finish. Let the alpha take control.
Yes, sir.
And then the day before. Another little hint of maybe something you've got planned, whatever. And maybe you spray it with a little bit of your cologne on there so you get a little bit of that scent going. And then the day before, the fortune, it says 7 o'clock, dress, whatever, black dress, whatever the case is, be ready for pickup. And then, bingo, she'll be like, what is going on? I have no clue. Now, all of a sudden, she's going to start asking questions. Remember, women like men of mystery, men of intrigue. That's why they like James Bond. James Bond was the alpha, always cool, but very mysterious. Same thing. Think James Bond, gentlemen. You are going to be James Bond. And do something where you don't necessarily have to take her to a 5-star restaurant, but maybe you take her somewhere for a little cocktail. You don't have to go crazy. give her maybe something that you're going to use later, maybe a little nice little robe, some
book.
Hot little lingerie. Give her the book, 101 Nights of Great Sex. In fact, bring Laura along. Laura's for hire. Go ahead, take her along, and she'll give you guidance in the bedroom while you're opening everything up in case you're doing it wrong. Like if you do the velvet tongue incorrectly, Laura will step right in to show the proper way to do it. So what I say is do these things. It doesn't require a lot of money, but it's the intrigue. Now all of a sudden you get in their head and you're almost like you're getting them thinking. And when you get a woman thinking, like, what's he doing? I don't know what's going on. Then they start calling their friends. You won't believe what he just did. I got this fortune cookie, and it says this, this, and this. And it smells of his cologne. I don't know what's going on. And then she's going to call you and say, well, what do you have planned? Again,
do not give it away.
Very intriguing. I don't know. Maybe tomorrow you'll get another clue. And then you do the same thing, and then it gets to the point where it's so absolutely crazy, she won't know. And then when you go to pick her up, then another fortune cookie, and then you can lay out the itinerary for the evening. Doesn't have to be a fancy restaurant. Doesn't have to be a fancy gift. It can just be something, again, get something that's creative, that's going to be intriguing, that is not in the normal realm of how women think. You don't want the candies, the flowers, the typical restaurant. Do something that's, and here's my thing. I don't like going even out on Valentine's Day to restaurants because it's jammed with people that like go out rarely. And so you don't really enjoy it. It's almost like it's a forced type of meal. That's not what I want. Do something that's creative, that's unique, that ultimately gets you back in the bedroom for alpha pleasure maneuvers.
Now, may I speak?
You may.
I mean, you know what? What he's trying to say and what he did say, it's all about anticipation. That's what it's about. So you can set up something a little simpler, buy a calendar, rip out the, February the 14th, draw a big red circle around it, and you can also just put the calendar on the fridge, or if you're, that's all you have to do. And then just say a surprise is waiting for you.
Fortune cookie is better, more anticipation.
Oh, I think so. I think that's awesome. But if you don't want to go to that effort, and a lot of guys don't, also another cool thing to do is buy a gift now. And for those people who are not familiar with 101 Nights of Great Sex, would you like to describe the book? Because basically there are 101 sealed envelopes in 101 Nights of Great Sex. There are 50 envelopes for his eyes only and 50 for her eyes only. And one for the very end. And you get together when you want to surprise your partner, when you want to add spice, when you want to add anticipation. You both get together and you flip through the book. And each envelope has a title. Like one of my favorite this year. You ready? I hope I can say this. It's number 8. And it's called Bait.
Sergeant Steve, can we say that on the air?
Not certain.
Not certain. We better just beat that part. Beat that part out.
How about clickbait?
Okay, clickbait. There you go. You'll get the meaning, gents. Clickbait.
It's clickbait. And and honestly, so you rip that sealed envelope out. She sees you rip out that sealed envelope. And there's something, General, there's something really magical about a man with the sealed envelope in his hand. Can you understand why that makes a woman like over the top hot?
Yes, like, because the man is in control.
Yes, yes, he's alpha. He's going to take the initiative.
And that's right.
I mean, honestly, this book has sold millions of copies, and there's a very good reason for that. There's just something very, very hot about a man with a sealed envelope in his hand, and there's something very hot about a woman with a sealed envelope in her hand.
Well, women, no matter how strong they are, they like an alpha male that takes control. And I don't mean by taking control that you're going to whip around your dame. That's not what I'm talking about. But they like a man that basically runs the show, takes control, little bad boy in him, that does things that maybe she's not used to, not in a derogatory, not in a negative manner, but I think all women, as strong as they are, they want a stronger man because they like the fact that me Tarzan, you Jane. There's something very primal about it that women like.
You know, my favorite Cornism is a man with a plan will always win a lady's hand.
And is nice, but I think you've got another one that's better, a better cornism.
No, yes. A man, and, well, he's got to have a plan, and when he executes the plan, when a woman's heart melts, her legs will follow.
When a woman's heart melts.
Heart melts. Her legs will
follow.
Oh, but isn't it great? But her heart melts when she sees the plan. And the cool thing, General, about the book is there are 50 plans. There are 50 sex dates in this book the man is going to plan. And there's no way a woman is not going to show up to see what the plan is. Would you agree? I mean, we have honeylingus. We have
honey
for the buck.
As Johnny Carson would say, remember the old honey. Great Karnak? Honey lingus. How many honeys can you get in your lingus? The great Karnak. I could just see Johnny Carson doing that. Honey lingus. I'm already
it's hard to say,
because
isn't
of
it?
That. Yes.
I mean, honey lingus, she will definitely, you rip that sealed envelope out, and you could execute that for Valentine's Day, and she will levitate off the bed. We have number 23. I don't know if you can say this. Bad to the boner. And by the way, last night I went and saw...
Bad to the boner.
Bad to the boner.
I think you're good there.
We're good there.
Okay.
Bad to the boner.
To the boner. And last night I went and saw Bad Boys. And I have a question, General. Are all alpha males bad boys? Or how would you describe that? A little bit of bad boy?
There is a bit of bad boy. Women, here's what women want. Luscious Laura, and you know this is true. And ladies may not admit this, but it is true. They all say, oh, I just want a gentleman. They do want a gentleman. They want somebody that's worldly, that is polite, takes charge, but they also want a little bit of bad boy. They want a bad boy in there. They like that little bit of naughtiness, just like men. Same thing. What's the old adage with women? She's a lady in the streets, but a freak in the sheets.
Lady in the streets.
Or whatever it is. Something like that, and a freak in the sheets.
Oh.
Something along those lines. It's the same analogy, but it's true. Every woman and every man wants a woman that's a little bit of a naughty girl, a little bad girl, a little wildness. That's okay. I mean, nobody just wants a guy that... No woman wants a guy that says, hello, let me... If you want a polite guy, but... Okay, let me just go ahead. I'm going to open the door. I'm going to give you a kiss on the cheek, and
no,
that's not what they want. They
no,
want
they just
a guy
pull,
that's
pull
got,
our hair and get us up against the wall.
Right, but it's got to be done correctly. You can't just
exactly.
grab a woman's hair and say down, wench. That's not how it works. You've got to have the right moves, the right timing. It's got to be. You got to make sure you have the chemistry too. But absolutely, when a woman feels like this guy is getting me moist, I am attracted to this guy, oh yeah. When a man takes control, the alpha's in charge, you better believe that drives them right over the top. And the problem is, many men don't know how to do that. But the good news, gents, alphas, you've come to the right place. We're going to guide you. Laura Korn, 101 Nights of Great Sex, 101 Nights of Great Romance. She is the sex coach to the stars, not to the five-star, because I already know all that stuff. But when we continue, everything you need to know for a fantastic, smashing Valentine's Day.
Get the latest cigars, hand-picked by the General, each month, delivered straight to your door. When you join the Cigar Dave Officers Club for just $22.95 a month, you'll receive 3 premium cigars in a customized Ziploc Cigar Dave pouch. To join, go to CigarDave.com.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars wearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Step right up to the historic Cascade Theater for an evening of engaging family entertainment when Cirque Mechanics returns to Reading February 11th. Part mechanical invention, part high-flying circus, Cirque Mechanics' new show plays tribute to the lore of the 1800s circus with acrobatics, aerialists, mechanical marvels, and a bit of clowning around. Don't miss this spectacular show February 11th. Get tickets at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Cigar Dave is back in 5, 4, 3, 2.
It's not for me to say you love me.
Nothing gets our special guest, Lauralicious Korn, author of 101 Nights of Great Sex, 101 Nights of Great Romance, hotter than hearing Johnny Mathis as we introduce her once again. Lauralicious, Lauralicious, are you controlling yourself after listening to Johnny and my voice at the same time? That's like a threesome right there.
I am. I'm having a fantasy.
As you should.
By the way, I have an interesting data.
Yes.
You ready? In a huge survey, it was just released a couple of weeks ago, 74% of men and women want a more adventurous sex life in 2020. That's what they want. And the reason why 101 Nights of Great Sex is such an amazing gift to give her or to give him, especially her, is because, first of all, men never buy these kind of books. They never buy books on relationships. So in itself, you are thinking outside the box. to get into her box. These are the kind of books women buy for their relationship. And if you beat her to the punch and you give her this gift, I mean, it's a panty melter. She's just, her panties are going to melt. Because what you're really saying is, I want to be a better lover. Let's have 101 Nights of Great Sex. I desire you. Go to Amazon, read all the reviews. Most of them are for guys, for men. And they all start off by saying something like, I've never bought a book on sex, but I've never seen my wife this happy. And
well, 4.5 stars you've gotten on the ratings on Amazon. And it's interesting because here's one, the headline, Spice Up Your Life. This book has such great ideas on how to pleasure one another. Here's another. I love this one. Would recommend. There's somebody really going out, a guy really going out on the edge. Here's one. Step out of your comfort zone, ! Here's another one. We enjoy it. I mean, there's a lot of great reviews on here. And I would say this, that you're right. What was the statistic? 70% of couples?
74% of men and women want a more adventurous sex life. And the thing is, how are you going to make that happen? I mean, just because you want it doesn't mean it's going to happen. They want it because we're so distracted. Action equals attraction. Distraction does not equal attraction, right? It's action. You have to take action. And by the way, doing the same thing over and over and over again, there was a commercial during the Super Bowl. Do you remember this commercial? I instantly thought of my book because it says, do you remember it's for the new NFL league? And it was no NFL, no endorphins. No NFL, because, you know, it was the end of the season. It was Super Bowl, right? What are we going to do? No NFL, no endorphins. Well, think about that as your sex life, too. Same old moves for a woman, no endorphins.
Well, and I believe this because, let's face it, most couples probably are missionary. You know, like 2 minutes and you're done.
Yeah.
But to me,
yeah,
there's more than that. You've got cowgirl, reverse cowgirl. You've got doggy. You've got pile driver. I mean, these are essential positions that every man, every couple should not only know, but they should use in the pursuit of an outstanding sexual liaison sex life. This is very important because most
people are just
stale. What's number four?
Because we're distracted. We don't admit that people are not creative.
It's not just that they're distracted. You hit it right. They're not creative.
They're not creative.
A lot of people are not in touch with their own sexuality. They do not get adventuresome. I mean, I cannot tell you the number of women, friends of mine, that have told me they were in marriages, they were in relationships. They said, oh, my God. It's like the sex was like, one told me, they said, the sex life, it was like, you know, being raped for like 2 minutes. It was just like boom, 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 and done.
Oh.
Like no pleasure on her part. Another one told me it was like the most unenjoyable, uncreative sex, missionary. Again, 2-3 minutes, bing, bang, boom. Women want to be pleasured too. The more you pleasure a woman, the more they want to pleasure you as the man, as the alpha. Very important. But most people, I would say, I cannot tell you the number of women that tell me this. Their complaint, it's so stale. It's so boring. There's just no creativity.
And you want to know something? A lot of those women are waiting for the guys to be creative.
Correct.
No offense. I'm going to defend the guys right now because men that I meet, they're like, they look at the book and they're like, wow, yeah, I could open up a sealed envelope and follow the directions with one page. They're not going to read a whole book, but they will read one seduction. I think most men want to make women happy. But, you know, we get stuck in a rut.
They don't know how.
They don't know how.
Man, I'm going to give you important advice right here. Here's another idea. Doesn't cost you a bundle, but this is going to be great, and it's to your benefit. Go to Sephora. Go to any one of the makeup counters at any of the department stores. Book a reservation for your dame, your harem, to get made up. The makeup, the whole shebang. And then, here's the other kicker. In that little fortune cookie box, you put in there saying, maybe that day, say, today at 4 o'clock, you have an appointment at Sephora to be made up. And here is a card, whatever, a $7,500 gift certificate to buy some makeup, to buy the eyeliner pens or the brushes or whatever. Who's going to be the beneficiary? You. She's going to feel like $1 million. Maybe she doesn't wear a lot of makeup. Maybe she doesn't do herself up. But you basically give instructions and say, I want you to make her look like a Playboy playmate. And she's going to come back and look so hot and look so great and feel great about herself that she's going to want to look hot for you, get a hot, you know, put on a hot dress. she's going to be roaring and ready to go. She's going to look like a totally different person. And you, as soon as you see her, you're going to be like, showing, double swing. Because many times people get stale. They don't go out of their way. I see this all the time. You have to take the initiative as an alpha with women. And then the other thing you need to do is go out, buy her, go to Victoria's Secret, get her a nice robe. Listen, you want to really get her hot and get yourself hot? Buy her some thigh-high white or black boots. Believe me, guaranteed you will have the night that you will never forget. Women need to feel like they are sexy. They are trophies. Very, very important, and most men do not know how to do that.
That's great advice. You know, love is the foundation of a relationship, but there's only one thing that creates passion. There's only one thing. I'm talking about long-term relationships. I'm not talking about, you know, dating. I'm talking about long-term relationships. What is that, Dave? General?
You have to keep things fresh.
Yeah.
You have to have elements of surprise.
Right. But this is scientific. This is not just, you know.
You have to have the attraction. If there's no attraction there,
right,
everything else, chemistry goes by the wayside.
And you got to look good. You got to taste good. You got to smell good. But for passion, you need one thing and one thing only, and that's novelty. Novelty, trying new things. How do you try new things? Well, you get 101 nights of great sex, and you rip out a sealed envelope, and you let her see you rip out a sealed envelope. Because the minute you rip out a sealed envelope, whether it's honey lingus, bang for her buck, make her tremble, bad to the boner, 50 shades of pleasure, sex spa, I could go on and on. And she sees that envelope in your hand. She is, I'm telling you, she's like a kid. She's feminine. She feels like a woman. You're going to seduce her, and you're going to seduce her with something original, something she would never see coming. That is what creates hotness. That's it. That's my spiel.
That is Laura's spiel, and you are sticking to it.
But it's so true. And you know what? When a man plans a date, makes all the arrangements, buys the Sephora gift card. By the way, do you know what you said? Get her a Sephora gift card for $7,500.
No, I said $7,500 or $100.
Oh, I thought you said $7,500.
No, not $7,500. No, $75 or $100 bucks or whatever.
Oh, okay. All right.
No,
well,
$7,500. Come on.
I know. I thought, okay. Well, anyway, yes. So keep those surprises coming.
And you brought up a good point about men also. Very, very important. Men, you must smell good. The number of women that tell me, the number one complaint about their men, they don't wear cologne. They want their men to smell great. They want their men to wear cologne. I cannot tell you the number of dames that are in the harem that say, I just want one of your shirts, General, because I love the smell of Bulgari or the Dunhill Fresh or the Chanel, whatever I'm wearing at the time, because that reminds them of you. It's got that scent in there. They want that. Very important. The number of men that don't wear cologne just is staggering. And I've been in airports where women have just started following me or running and saying, excuse me. I'm like, yes. Saying, what are you wearing? What cologne? That smells absolutely great. And I tell them I'm wearing Bulgari or whatever I'm wearing, and they'll write it down. How do you spell that? And I'll spell that for them like, oh, I wish my boyfriend or my husband would wear cologne. I got to buy it for him. That smells fantastic. I could smell you like 20 feet away, and you smelled fantastic. I've never had a woman come up to me saying, that cologne you're wearing smells terrible. It's horrible. It is just obnoxious. It is offensive. Everywhere I go, I've had women, whether it's the bank, the post office, women are saying, they're like, what are you wearing? That smells incredible. Mm-hmm. That smells delightful. And they all want to write it down.
When you look good and you smell good and you taste good, you're bringing your A game. No A game, no passion. Right. When you think of Valentine's Day, you have to bring your A game. And part of
sex coach to the stars, Laura Licious Corn. 101 Nights of Great Sex, 101 Nights of Great Romance, everything you need to know for the big day, the Super Bowl for Dames, Valentine's Day, our final and concluding segment of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show comes your way next.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Dave.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. If you're a beginner, or if you just enjoy a great mild cigar like I do in the morning, I suggest you try the Vintage 99. This 7-year-old Connecticut wrapper delivers a creamy, mild, smooth flavor. It's very, very balanced on your palate, and it absolutely is delightful. Tons of flavor, a perfect draw, and an incredible ash. This cigar is smooth. It will entice you to enjoying more and more of the Vintage 99s. It's just a nice, great, balanced, smooth cigar. Look for it, the oldest Connecticut shape in the market today. I'm Rocky Patel, and I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at RockyPatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigar smoking can cause cancer and heart disease.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club has been en fuego, on fire with marvelous selections, and we continue that trend for February. We feature a full-flavored selection of Crown Head's unique artisanal quality cigars. First up, the Jericho Hill, dedicated to the man in black. Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. Jericho Hill, the first Nicaraguan cigar from Crown Heads. It's wrapped in a Mexican San Andrean Maduro wrapper. Rich, dark, delivers medium to full-flavored attitude. Then we feature the La Imperiosa. Buckle up. It's a seriously full-flavored beauty. Ecuadorian Habano Oscuro wrapper ignites massive notes of pepper. And then we wrap it up with Juarez, inspired by Jericho Hill. But Juarez amps up the strength, delivering notes of spice and sweetness. $22.95 per month. You get three great cigars like the Crown Heads full-flavored sampler. Go to CigarDave.com, click on Officers Club, and join the Officers Club today.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Welcome to the Year of the Bear, Black Bear Diner's year-long 25th anniversary celebration. Black Bear Diner first started serving up bear-sized portions of family favorites in 1995, and they are marketing this milestone with a year of tasty specials, fun celebrations, and a continued commitment to give back to the community. Stay tuned and be sure to stop by the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Cypress and Redding all year long, and help us celebrate 25 years of
Black Bear Diner.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
As we remember the anniversary of the North State fires, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service would like to thank you. Because of you, NVCSS has served over 26,000 people in the North State. Because of you, children have returned to school. Our communities are rebuilding. Families have a new place to call home. People are healing. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service thanks you. Together, we will continue inspiring hope and transforming lives.
You're nobody till somebody loves you. you're nobody till somebody cares. You may be king, you may possess the world and its gold, but gold won't bring you happiness when you're growing old. The world still is the same. You never change it.
The great smooth as Dean sure Martin. Just slick, smooth, suave, debonair. Perfect for our final segment with Laura Korn, author of 101 Nights of Great Sex, 101 Nights of Great Romance, as we talk Super Bowl for Dames, Valentine's Day, everything you need to know for the big day for Dames. Laura, when you look at the number of people that will just go out and do the vanilla thing, they'll just go out to dinner and they'll get roses and the chocolates. It's boring. It's boring. And I say this, mix it up, shake it up, change it up. Nothing is written that you have to do roses, that you have to do flowers. Do something different, even perfume. To me, if you give a woman a little bottle of perfume or a little, for what you would spend on dinner, think about it. Many times you go out to a nice dinner, you're talking a couple hundred dollars. Get a small bottle of perfume. Get her maybe a nice little gift for a massage or something. Put a nice little robe. Go to Victoria's Secret. Put a little basket together of little gifts to give your dame.
I like that.
You may never leave the house.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you're going to do roses, I mean, most guys are going to do roses. Do it this way. Don't get her 12 red roses. Get her 11 red roses and one white rose. And then on the card say, in every bunch, there's always one that is special. You're that one.
Aww.
I mean, it didn't take any. I mean, that. Or don't walk through the door. Knock on the door. Ring the doorbell. And give her the flowers. Hide a few roses underneath the bed, in the trunk of the car, and just kind of surprise her. That's what women are looking for. When we look at the effort, the gesture, we're looking at the effort behind the gesture. Was it creative? Was it rational? I mean, that's really, we want you to step out of the box to get into our box.
Now, I've got another suggestion.
Yes.
Another suggestion. Don't get a dozen roses. Get one white rose with a little card that says, one special rose for one special dame. That's it.
Good.
It's another good one, huh? And again, you didn't have to spend $80-$100 for a dozen roses. You get one. Bingo.
That's true. That's true. And guys, think of it. Think this way. Anytime you introduce a new item, a new position, a new toy, a new book, you are increasing the spirit of adventure. And whenever you do that, it will make her feel more playful, more feminine, more excited.
And again, new position I would recommend, pile driver, reverse cowgirl, delightful. You can't go
wrong. Wait. No. You know what? The one I recommend, number four, in 101 Nights of Great Sex, massage collage.
Now, men and women like to be massaged, but women like massaging their men. Because I have found that most men, you know, you worked hard, whatever, and a lot of women like that. That's like the little motherly thing where they like to gently caress their man. They like to massage their man. So men, what I say is let it go. Let them do it. And if you want, get them some massage. Here's another thing. Get them some massage lotions, get some little massage candles, set the mood, you know, the spa music. But then you start with them, give them a little massage for like 5 minutes, then you roll over and maybe you'll get one for about an hour. It's beautiful. You see what I did there? You start off like you're pleasuring them, it's all about them, but then you reverse it and you end up getting the better, bigger deal, the better massage.
That's pretty good. Just don't do the same old moves, the same old positions, and the same old sex.
Well, here's another thing I just said about the candles. You got to create the mood. Okay, men are visual, but so are women. You've got to create the mood. So what I say, get some candles, get some low lighting, maybe put something, some Johnny Mathis, some of the love type songs, you know, very subtly. It doesn't have to be like you're in a disco, very, very low. Create that mood. And then what you do is you give her, let's say, listen, in preparation for pleasure maneuvers tonight, I have bought you some items. I've laid them on the bed for you. So go out if you want to get them something hot, something a little on the naughty side, a nice robe, some bang me pumps, whatever you want to get them, some bling, lay that on the bed for them. Put it in
I've
a bag.
Got a good one. I've got a
yes.
good one. All right. The candle. There's only really one candle to get her for Valentine's Day.
What's the
Any
candle?
Guesses? It's called Jimmy Jang, and Jimmy it is Jang. A hot wax massage candle.
Wait a minute. So the wax goes on the body and...
Yes, but it's a massage oil. No,
it's a massage oil. Okay.
Oh, it's massage oil, and it's hot. And when you pour it on her, you massage it into her skin, and she will melt.
Now, that's good. But again, you got to create the whole ambiance. You got to have the whole mood going on, because once she walks into that bedroom and sees everything laid out and sees the candles and the music and the dim lights, she's going to start getting into the mood. And she's going to be saying, remember, you got her the nice Sephora, the makeup done. She's going to want to show it all off. So if you get her something nice to show it off in, she's going to come in ready for pleasure maneuvers. So very, very important. All right, now, Laura, we've got about 2 minutes left. So let's pick out one of your tips, one of the assignments from 101 Nights of Great Sex. And let's share that with our elephants.
Well, I just gave you one.
No, give me another one. How about 69? What's number 69? Let's pick that number. It just came to me randomly.
I know. You know what? You would think at 69 it would be. It's called Viva La Juicy. And it's actually her eyes only. So we're looking at, do you think most men use sex toys? Because I do have a good sexual technique.
With
do you
women?
Think most men?
I,
yeah,
I
do
think
you think most men feel
don't,
comfortable?
But I think that why not experiment? This is what
okay.
I say. If you're, we're talking that most men, a lot of couples are stale, well, why don't you try it? So go ahead.
There is a way to extend a woman's orgasm with a sex toy. So it's actually a seduction called Popping Her Clutch, number 80.
Popping Her Clutch.
Popping Her Clutch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of women masturbate with sex toys, right? And there
they
is...
Do?
I hate to break it to you, Dave.
Okay.
Yes, General. We do.
No,
not
you said
too
men.
Often.
You didn't say women, you said men.
Oh, I said men. I'm
said
sorry.
Men. Women, yes, of course. They've got Bob, boyfriend on batteries.
I've never heard that. That's awesome. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. That's right. All right. So here's what you do. Take her favorite toy. She's got one. You know where it is. She's in her drawer. It's under the bed. It's somewhere. And when she's at the peak, at the very peak, she'll let you know when she's about to have an orgasm. Turn the toy off.
Ooh.
For just a half a second. Then turn it back on. Wait 2 seconds. Turn it off. Turn it back on. Turn it back off. This technique can extend her orgasm up to 60 seconds.
Okay, it's Laura, we got to leave it there. Fantastic yes. advice. As always, Laura, wonderful having you. We've got to do this more often. Great advice. 101 Nights of Great Sex. Amazon.com. Can't go wrong. Laura Licious, you're the best, baby.
Mwah. Happy Valentine's Day.
Same to you. Cigar Dave, the General, say Mayor Humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Happy Valentine's Day. Showing.
That concludes today's live Cigar Dave Show. Stay tuned as the replay will begin momentarily. Sit back, relax, and light up a cigar.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. With their latest debate behind them, Democrats are looking ahead to Tuesday's primary in New Hampshire.
Feel how close we are. We can feel the wind at our back.
Pete Buttigieg and Bernie Sanders emerged from Iowa in a dead heat.
Our ideas are the ideas that the working families, the middle class of this country believe in.
Joe Biden is taking aim at both, saying Sanders will drag other Democratic candidates down.
Every Democrat will have to carry the label that Senator Sanders has chosen for himself. Not me. He's chosen it. Democratic socialist.
Elizabeth Warren says candidates need to get away from big dollar donors.
The only way we're going to make this better is we use this Democratic primary to build a grassroots movement.
While Amy Klobuchar says she can unite and win.
Getting away from the extremes and the noise and the nonsense in our politics.
I'm Ben Thomas.
U.S. government this week began enforcing restrictions on flavored cigarettes. Aimed at curbing the underage vaping, but some teens may be one step ahead of the rules. Critics of the FDA policy fear teens will simply switch to cheaper disposables widely available at convenience stores and gas stations. A California lawmaker wants to transform the nation's largest electric utility into a publicly owned company.
State Senator Scott Wiener's legislation involves Pacific Gas and Electric. The company and its sprawling network of power lines has been blamed for starting catastrophic wildfires. PG&E is trying to emerge from bankruptcy by June 30th so it can participate in a state insurance fund. Governor Gavin Newsom has threatened a state takeover if the company does not restructure its board and improve its electric grid.
Jeremy House with that report. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Matthew Walker here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
The Boys of Summer author Roger Kahn has died.
His son says he died in Mamaroneck, New York on Thursday. Kahn wove memoir and baseball and touched millions of readers through his romantic classic of the Brooklyn Dodgers. The author of 20 books and hundreds of articles, Kahn was particularly noted for the 1972 baseball bestseller. The book looked at his relationship with his father through their shared love of the Dodgers. Kahn's writing also hit on social issues, particularly race. He wrote at length about Jackie Robinson and his struggles in breaking baseball's color line, and the two formed a long friendship. Roger Kahn was 92. Keith Peters reporting.
Venerable actor, the tough guy, Robert Conrad, he was rugged and contentious, starred in the hugely popular 1960s television series Hawaiian Eye and the Wild Wild West, has died. He was 84. More news and analysis at townhall.com. A state legislator wants an audit of the California lottery to look into a whistleblower of about more than $200,000 worth of scratcher tickets that were given to Ellen DeGeneres' TV show for audience gifts.
The lottery viewed the move as a publicity boon, but the complaint filed by some lottery employees contends the giveaway was a misuse of funds. The Los Angeles Times reported Friday the giveaway occurred on the December 3rd episode of the Ellen DeGeneres show. The lottery confirmed the show was given at no cost. 425 packets that each included 72 scratcher tickets with a face value of $500 per packet, the Times said. The controversy has risen just weeks before the release of a lottery audit requested last year after allegations of wasteful spending, improper gifts, and nepotism. Patrick Frost reporting.
NCAA's preliminary rankings are out in college basketball. Baylor, Kansas, Gonzaga, and San Diego State are the top seeds. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We'll begin in 1 minute. The Brian Kilmeade Show will begin in 30 seconds. Enjoy. Radio studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everybody. Brian Kilmeade. Welcome to the latest edition of the Brian Kilmeade Show. Happy to be coming to you from Washington, D.C., the site of the State of the Union Address. And about 4 o'clock today will be the site of the president getting exonerated, getting acquitted from impeachment. Whereas it doesn't look, although there is strong rumors that Mitt Romney will vote to impeach, which is surreal and bizarre because it's not representing the people of Utah, certainly. But if besides that, Susan Collins and others are on board, and I would not be surprised if Doug Jones and Joe Manchin also jumped on board, and maybe Kristen Sinema, who was a little bit different last night, stood when Republicans stood, and she's over in Arizona. So we'll see what happens. Overall, this was played terribly by the master tactician who she claims to be, and that is Speaker Pelosi, a new low last night. With me in studio, if you're watching on Fox Nation, is Congressman Doug Collins, who wants to be the next senator from Georgia. And at the bottom of the hour, this guy, the National Security Advisor, Robert O'Brien. So before we officially get started with Congressman, let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three. I do not believe that the House has met its burden of showing that the president's conduct, however flawed, warrants the extreme step of immediate removal from office.
And that is Senator Susan Collins taking a political risk by saying something we all know. This is not impeachable. And she has to go and get 6 more years from the people of Maine. We'll see where that goes.
Number two.
The good news is that we'll never have to pay attention to the Iowa caucus again. It has always been so not a part of the American tapestry. I mean, it's fun, it's nice people out there and everything like that. It's truly not representative of the rest of the country.
Mike Barnicle talking about the Iowa caucus chaos. Apologies for failure not accepted by Dems as surprising results slowly come in. It's become clear. An epic fail for Joe Biden, a major win for a small town mayor, and a socialist Bernie Sanders.
Number one.
I am thrilled to report to you tonight that our economy is the best it has ever been. Our military is completely rebuilt. The state of our union is stronger than ever before.
112 standing ovations, 1 hour and 18 minutes. The State of the Union, the president's third, is his best, his strongest, and he touted his record, not his hopes and dreams, but what's been done and what's left ahead. I am stunned how many people are trying to find problems with it because he brought production value to it. There were plenty of surprises. There was a lot of recognition. It was more a slice of life than it was a speech. But I don't want to put words in the mouth of Congressman Doug Collins. The Republican is in studio. And I said this before on television. There's really nobody more valuable for the president's defense during the House impeachment phase than you. Right. You understood the case backwards and forwards. You were forced to go off script and respond. You came out without notes. And there was a lot of pressure. You were the ranking member. And there was a lot of pressure on your shoulders. You never seemed to feel it.
Well, it was easy when you had the case to deal with, and the Democrats overplayed their hand consistently. And that was the part that amazed me, is when they would overplay their hand, we pointed it out, we rattled their case completely before it ever got to the Senate. The Senate could have actually, except for going through the motions of what they did, they could have ended this a lot quicker because there was nothing wrong. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to one thing. It's easy to defend truth. It's easy to defend facts. It's easy to defend the very things that we saw after they tried to make something of nothing. We were able to poke holes in that.
4 o'clock today, this is going to be official. They're going to go through the Senate, and if they don't get 67 votes, the president is exonerated from impeachment. He's acquitted. Nancy Pelosi keeps saying he is impeached for life. What do you say? You're a lawyer.
Yeah, well, he'll also be acquitted for life, too. And I think that's the other thing that has to be done here. History will judge this, and you never predict how history go, but I'm having lived this one. History will go down, and coming back and looking at it, and the folks that I've talked to will show this is a very sad time in our history. It'll show that the Speaker of the House, who as of last night, tearing up literally the speech, has symbolically been tearing up the rules of the House, symbolically tearing up the Constitution, symbolically tearing up the due process, minority rights that she has always claimed to be a part of. And she's been doing so because of one thing. She just, and her party, cannot stand a president who does what he says and has the results that he wants.
You talk to people offline, and I just wonder, in retrospect, well, even though she'll never admit it publicly, this played out so terribly for her. I don't know how anyone can spin it differently. We impeached the president. She gets a few standing ovations. She gets to go on Bill Maher. She could have done that anyway. In the end, the president has ticked up 8 points. The economy continues to roar. Didn't even respond when this impeachment went through. The coronavirus is the only thing that hurt the economy. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that they believe, Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, that they did the right thing for them?
There are some true believers that do. And Adam Schiff would be a true believer. Nancy Pelosi, I'm not sure she began to be a true believer, but she almost had to. After she said and went ahead with this, she had to own it in September. You know, I've always said if she had waited 24 hours, I've always wondered what would have happened if Nancy Pelosi, instead of saying, we're starting an impeachment inquiry, which was wrong and illegal to start with, from that perspective of the House perspective, what if she just waited 24, 48 hours, the president released the transcript, she could have read the transcript, her legal team could have read the transcript, and then they would not have had to take Adam Schiff's word for it, who, by the way, remember, those 18, what I'll call dark days between the time of the call and the actual whistleblower report, had contact with this whistleblower, his staff did, he did. They had contact to shape and form what was actually in there. And they were under the impression, I believe this to my heart, that they believed the president would just double down and not release this transcript so they could say whatever they wanted to say about it. The moment that transcript was released, their case collapsed. The whistleblower report had multiple errors in it, many times over, about things that were not said, many things that were not done. So when you compare the whistleblower report, which had been prepped and worked on by the Intel Committee in the House, and the actual transcript, two different things.
I could take a step back because I don't have the burden of a legal education. I know exactly what the president was doing. What does he want to do to get people to shape their behavior? He wants to get leverage over them. Not extortion, leverage. How do you get Iran? Well, I'm going to do the best I can to suffocate their economy. I'm going to get as many allies as possible to do the exact same thing. Maximum pressure. How do you get China to do what you want to do? You don't just say we're going to have talks. You put tariffs. And then you say more tariffs are coming unless you talk. How do you get Mexico to enforce their border? You threaten them with tariffs. So tariffs, sanctions. And in this case, what do you want? You want a visit with the White House, and you're going to get it. I've given you 2 years in a row, but I also want this. I want to find out what happened in 2016. Mm-hmm. So tell them you'll get that. Just tell me you're a new guy. You ran on fighting corruption. Show me what you can do. That's the way Trump has lived his entire life.
Yes.
It's not complicated.
Not if you watch him. And I think that's the part that you understand here. When he went into it, you have to take a complete context. Mueller was the day before. We're looking backwards. There were these issues that had been coming up. And he simply said, for our country's sake, because that was the interesting thing is you go forward here. Because my question is this. When did we become a country that if you run for president, you can't be questioned or investigated? And if Joe Biden and his actions are beyond investigation simply because he ran for president, then we got a bad standard right here.
Well, I want you to hear what Chris Van Hollen is still saying. He just said this again, hoping for a change out of Maryland. Cut 55.
He continues to say it was a perfect phone call. He continues to say he did nothing wrong, when in fact he committed crimes against the Constitution of the United States, and the founders have the remedy for that, and it's impeachment. He should not try to claim exoneration. He will, but there's no vindication from a rigged trial. The first trial in American history, first impeachment trial in our history, without a single witness or a single document. So when you don't have a fair trial, you don't have a real acquittal.
Congressman.
Amazing. I mean, it is just truly amazing sticking to talk.
You had 17 witnesses from the House.
17 witnesses. They wanted more. And the problem was they didn't actually go through a process in the House. How can you blame the Senate when you actually look at a process that was completely flawed to start with? If Chris Van Hollen wants to talk about anything, let's go back and talk about the travesty that went on in the House. Let's talk about the processes that were violated, the rules that were violated, the things that went on that actually produced an end result that's going to end in the acquittal this afternoon. They did it, not us.
When John Bolton's book comes out, if there's additional revelations in there about context and conversations that he was privy to, which, by the way, the John Bolton I know would not reveal that. And I'm curious to talk to him. If that comes back, do you expect this whole thing to start up again in committee? Do you expect, I mean, you know how these investigations go. What are you expecting next?
I think they're going to try and, they're going to take a break for about a week or so. Then we're going to find something else. They've already talked about going after, you know, the Iran issue there, you know, with the strikes. They talk about emoluments still. They talk about everything with
talking about tax returns.
Yeah, they talk about tax returns. Look, it's nothing about, my question is, when did the Democratic Party lose its idea base? When did this Democratic Party, who has, in history has put forward ideas that the American people vote on, all they want to do now is say, we hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they want to do.
What's your agenda today? Because the vote's going to come at 4. The Senate could get to the White House at 5, you would think. Are you planning going to the White House?
I don't know. Well, I've got some hearings today. We're actually having a hearing for the first time in our committee, and we've actually having a regular oversight hearing. Chris Ray is going to be in our committee today. I'm not sure how to act anymore. We're having a hearing in our Judiciary Committee.
And what's going to be your focus? Is it going to be on FISA? Is it going to be on this, or is it just looking forward?
No, I think I want to talk about FISA. I want to talk about the issues that have gone forward. Well, again, my chairman has denied me the opportunity to talk to Horowitz. And, you know, my chairman is, and I've told the FBI director, I says, you're going to get a lot of questions this, because we've not had the chance to do this.
Congressman Doug Collins is here. I want to talk about his Senate run. Also, you're taking the State of the Union. The president did not get an introduction that included. It is our great pleasure and honor to welcome President of the United States. It was just, here's the President of the United States. The president is accused of not shaking the speaker's hand. I don't know if he missed it, but he didn't shake the vice president's hand. And at the end of the State of the Union, while he was getting applause, she was ripping up page by page the speech, which we found out later didn't even belong to her. It goes to the National Archives. It's an official document for the House, not for the Speaker. Incredible. Back in a moment with Doug Collins and then National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien. Big day, big hour. Don't move.
Newsmakers and newsbreakers. Hear it first, only on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
Here are three things about Vistaprint business cards. Which do you think is true? 1. Our business cards are now edible. 2. Our business cards now come with sound effects. 3. Our business cards now ship for free. Yep, it's 3. All Vistaprint business cards now ship free. And that goes for any style and quantity. You pick the style, the shape, and the paper. The result is a card you're proud to hand out. So visit Vistaprint.com for free shipping on all business cards in any style and any quantity. Just use promo code 3939. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 3939.
Hello, I'm Dr. Travis Stork. I recommend that patients taking statin drugs to lower their cholesterol consider taking Qnall CoQ10 supplements with their prescribed regimen. Statin drugs may lower CoQ10 levels, which is an important nutrient for heart health.
Qnall CoQ10 has the number one cardiologist-recommended form of CoQ10. Qnall is the brand I recommend considering with your statin medication.
Consult with your doctor. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A dad who built a video game controller for his daughter makes today's Dean's List. 9-year-old Ava Steele has hereditary spastic paraplegia and has trouble with controlled motor function and speech. These symptoms makes it hard for her to play video games with her friends until her dad, Rory, found a way to help. Rory designed a custom arcade-style Nintendo controller for Ava so she can hook up to an adaptive Microsoft Xbox controller. He bought all the parts for the contraption off eBay for about $140. Once he hooked it up for Ava, he posted an adorable Twitter video of his delighted daughter playing her favorite game, The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wind. The video has been viewed more than 1 million times. Rory plans to post do-it-yourself instructions for its assembly on the internet so that other parents of disabled children can build one themselves. Well done, Rory. We hope your invention helps many more kids like your Ava. You made the Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
As legend has it, Abner Doubleday invented a little game called baseball in Cooperstown, New York, in the year 1839. Myth or truth, no one knows for sure. But 100 years later, the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum opened in Cooperstown and has done a great job of balancing the myth with the historical record.
Ladies and gentlemen, I now declare the National Baseball Museum and the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, the birthplace of baseball, open. May it forever stand as a symbol of clean play and good sportsmanship.
The first class in 1939 included Cy Young of the Red Sox, Phillies legend Connie Mack, Honus Wagner of the Pirates, and the Yankees Babe Ruth.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Rod Lowe and Liv Tyler of Fox's new spinoff series, 911 Lone Star. Lowe plays Captain Strand, who moves from New York to Austin, Texas, to rebuild a firehouse there. And he begins his new job building a diverse team. The actor says it sets up a key aspect of the show.
We wanted to have a show that can go red state, blue state, and be surprising in the positions it takes. It's not like lecturing anybody about what they should or shouldn't be on in any side of it, but like, let's take advantage of those differences. And let's take advantages of people's perceptions of one another.
Lowe and Tyler both say playing first responders on TV gives them a new perspective on those who do this in real life.
It's mind-blowing, really, when you realize what they do every day and how brave they are.
To play human beings who are actually heroes, for me, is really satisfying because it's good to put them in the spotlight.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
Ins and outs of the State of the Union Address with people in the know. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
As we witness the impeachment process in Washington, there are some things each of us, no matter our party, should demand. The truth matters. Facts matter. And no one should be above the law. It's not what those senators say. Tomorrow, it's about what they do that matters. Remember.
Senator Gretchen Whitmer, and she is talking about impeachment, and said that is the Democratic response to the State of the Union. With me right now is Congressman Doug Collins, who's going to be running for the U.S. Senate seat, formerly held by Senator Isaacson, who left it, and he'll be running for that November. So, Congressman, that's it. She brought up impeachment. The president didn't. Who made the right choice?
The president did. I mean, when you have a record, what I'm so proud about this president coming out, and it's been said, by saying all that he's done, he showed what he has been doing while the Democrats have been attacking him, while the Democrats have been, doing no agenda and just simply saying we don't like the president. He actually went forward and said, here's what I've done. Here's what we have done over the past 4 or 5 months. While you're off on impeachment, I'm off doing this. I appreciate the governor from Michigan, but for those of us who've lived this impeachment, Give me a break.
Well, I mean, you could say, look, tomorrow I'll be exonerated for a charge that never could happen. But Marco Rubio asked him not to. Ted Cruz asked him not to. I imagine other people asked him not to. And I think he made the right choice. Now, she had an interesting, she's a popular governor of Michigan, I guess. And she said, this economy only works for rich. And you know what? Let's see.
Yeah.
And if that is true, the president will get trounced, and he will definitely not win Michigan. He will definitely not have a shot at Minnesota. He'll definitely lose Wisconsin. So it's game on. Yeah. If those numbers are lying and it's only for horrible rich people, I'd like to see it.
Yeah. Let me tell you a story. I had a friend of mine who lives in Boston. He was traveling in Florida just the other day. He was in an Uber, and something came on that he was listening to the radio, and it was one of the impeachment, and he just started yelling at the driver. He just started yelling at the radio. And my friend asked him, he said, what's wrong? He said, he got really mad. And this was an African-American gentleman who said, look, he said, I have 10 or 12 of my relatives who have struggled in the previous economies, who couldn't have jobs, who are now working for the first time. He said, this economy is working. He said, and I'm happy about that. He said, I'd rather us be working. So, look, I go into places all the time, and the mixed diversity of people that see me in the airports, see me at restaurants, see this, who come up to me and say, not only say thanks for what you do with the president, but they say, tell the president to keep doing what he's doing.
Well, just so you know, and fracking ends the day almost every Democrat gets into office. They've said it. Mm-hmm. Decriminalized border crossings. Almost every Democrat has said it, so they stopped asking it because it's embarrassing. And then you have a situation where Mike Bloomberg, for example, says the tax rates go up, especially for rich people, immediately, and there'll be a billionaire's tax if Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. This is all taxing, it's spending, and I'm fascinated by whether this is going to resonate. The one place where Republicans are weak is health care. What do you plan on doing about it?
Well, I think the one thing is bringing back, let's go back and be honest about health care. And I think not the lie that is being perpetrated, that in our health care package that we had that got stopped in the Senate where we could have negotiated further, there were protections for this, this pre-existing condition. I have a daughter who has spina bifida. My daughter now cannot get normal insurance and hasn't forever. This idea of pre-existing condition is very valuable to me. It's very something that I have always thought about. But we've actually begun to make this better. We can't let the determination be on the fringes. And last night, what was amazing is you watched when the president actually said how many people had actually signed on to basically a socialized, just taking away private health care insurance. The reaction on the Democratic side was, it was almost like, wow, you're calling me out. I didn't want anybody to know that. From our perspective, it's about choice. It's about the doctors. It's about giving the incentives so that people can choose their health care plans that actually fit their needs, not what we want them to have.
Here's a little of the president's theme last night, cut two.
3 years ago, we launched the Great American Comeback. Tonight, I stand before you to share the incredible results. Jobs are booming. Incomes are soaring. Poverty is plummeting. Crime is falling, confidence is surging, and our country is thriving and highly respected again.
And half the room applauded.
Yep.
What was the other half doing? And it was mixed, right? You didn't have all Democrats on one side necessarily.
Not completely, no.
So I heard there was a lot of sighing and muttering.
There was. As the speech went on last night, I had a friend of mine who was a former member who was actually in the House chamber last night. Finally, toward the end, he just turned around and said, he said, the Democrats are just begging for this to be over because it was just so bad because they have no response to all the good things that were going on. But they were muttering. They were yelling back at him. It was pretty interesting.
What is the president's reaction to you saying, I want to run for that Senate seat, even though Kelly Loeffler was put there by the Republican governor to fill out the remaining?
He's been always great with me and supportive of me. And that's been the best part of working with him is he understands what we've done. He understands my vision and wish the best and move forward.
Will he endorse you?
We're not asking him to. And the reason is this president has to be president. And everybody knows our feelings for each other and how we've worked together. And we're going to go down and share the ideas we need to.
Why are you better than the other Republican, Kelly Loeffler?
Because over the past years of my life, I've actually taken conservative values and been able to explain it to voters and actually been able to do things in Congress. I've done things like the First Step Act, which is the criminal justice discussion the president has. That was our bill. We've actually talked about music modernization, which redid the entire copyright system. These were 6 years, bipartisan bills that actually moved forward.
Why did the governor Kemp not endorse you or not put you there?
Great question. Ask him. I think he was so concerned about trying to reach out and expand the base. He just we never had a long conversation. That was another interesting thing about it.
Why do you, the Democrats really feel they have a shot at the seat now that you two are going to be going at it, maybe dividing the party a little bit? What do you say to critics who say you might be giving up that seat?
I think it's a scare tactic to get me out of the race, which is not going to happen because the Democrats have two people on their side and probably going to have a third. So this is just going to be an extended time into November, which will be a normal primary basis. The Republicans are going to vote Republicans. The Democrats are going to vote for Democrats. There'll be a runoff, and then it'll be head-to-head Republican and Democrat.
There's no primary.
No, not the way it is right now. It could have been, but the governor chose not to. He chose to try and veto that, or he threatened to veto that. There's a bill in the House now that in Georgia that could have done that, and he chose not to.
Wow. Will you be seeing the president today after 4 o'clock?
I don't know. We'll have to see. It'll be great.
Well, I think he owed you a lot. You had a very convincing way. You're an excellent communicator of getting the president's point of view across. I'm sure he appreciates it.
Yeah, he does.
Congressman Doug Collins, thanks so much. Back with Robert O'Brien in just a moment. You listen to Brian Kilmeade Show.
It's the latest from Fox News Podcasts, The Campaign with Brett Baer. With updates from reporters on the trail and in-studio experts, Brett keeps you informed on the 2020 race. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com and download The Campaign with Brett Baer now. Sharp, experienced, trusted. Shannon Bream is America's last word on politics with live insight every night so you can start the next day smart. Only on Fox News at Night, weeknights at 11 p.m. Eastern. Fox News Channel. America is watching.
America is a special place. It's a place where we work for what we want and speak up for what we believe. Where we have the power to change the course of our nation and the world. Every 4 years, we make a choice for ourselves, for our families, for our future. We do something most people across the globe only dream of. Democracy 2020. It's in your hands. Fox News. America is watching.
This is House Call for Health. The coronavirus can spread in several ways. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the virus is released when an infected person coughs or sneezes. Any type of close contact can transmit the disease, including shaking hands. Also, touching something that's been exposed to the virus and then touching your mouth, nose, or eyes. That raises a question. Could you be exposed to the coronavirus if you get a package delivery that originated in China? Dr. Patricia Stinchfield with the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases tells Fox News, you shouldn't worry. The virus survives outside the body for only an hour or less. And since it takes at least 3 days for a package to arrive from China, any virus would be long dead by the time it gets to you. But health experts say it's a good idea to wash your hands before you touch your face. For more on the coronavirus, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's the latest from Fox News Podcasts, The Campaign with Brett Baer. With updates from reporters on the trail and in-studio experts, Brett keeps you informed on the 2020 race. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com and download The Campaign with Brett Baer now. Sharp, experienced, trusted. Shannon Bream is America's last word on politics with live insight every night so you can start the next day smart. Only on Fox News at Night, weeknights at 11 p.m. Eastern. Fox News Channel. America is watching.
America is a special place. It's a place where we work for what we want and speak up for what we believe. Where we have the power to change the course of our nation and the world. Every 4 years, we make a choice for ourselves, for our families, for our future. We do something most people across the globe only dream of. Democracy 2020. It's in your hands. Fox News. America is watching.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1987. Jim and Tammy Baker.
We can say we've learned a good lesson. We've learned it. Yeah. I hate that it took this many years to learn it. I'm getting a little old for starting over again.
I refuse to submit my family and my friends and innocent people and myself to further rumors and gossip. I believe I would have been a successful candidate, and I know I could have been a very good president, but apparently now we'll never know.
I realize there's a lot of folks around that think there's a loose cannon on the Gundeck estate at the NSC. People used to walk up to me and tell me what a great job I was doing.
In Robert Bork's America, there is no room at the inn for blacks.
and no place in the Constitution for women. And in our America, there should be no seat on the Supreme Court for Robert Bork.
She's crying and humming and sometimes singing. She goes to sleep at periods of time.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. The veterans who belong to American Legion Post 568 in Scranton, Pennsylvania, say it's bad enough that their executive officer in charge of membership and recruitment is accused of stealing money from the organization. But that's not what really bothers them. The real anger and hurt came when they found out that Christopher Crawford had allegedly lied about his military record. Crawford will stand trial for both the theft of nearly $17,000 in American Legion funds and for violating Pennsylvania's new Stolen Valor Law. Prosecutors say Crawford did serve in the Army for a few months in 2007, but he went AWOL during boot camp and was dishonorably discharged. Legion members said he told them he was an Iraq war veteran and had been wounded in an IED explosion. In court, prosecutors showed a Facebook photo of Crawford wearing a combat infantry badge that he didn't earn. One Vietnam veteran at the Post said what Crawford's accused of turns his stomach. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weindlin, Fox News.
Recap of President Trump's State of the Union with Brian Kilmeade.
3 years ago, the barbarians of ISIS held over 20,000 square miles of territory in Iraq and Syria. Today, the ISIS territorial caliphate has been 100% destroyed, and the founder and leader of ISIS, the bloodthirsty killer known as al-Baghdadi, is dead. Our message to the terrorists is clear. You will never escape American justice. If you attack our citizens, you forfeit your life.
President of the United States last night going out of his way not just to review who's been killed, but why. Talking about Kayla and the mission that killed al-Baghdadi and how miserable he made her last months of her life. And Soleimani, the people he's maimed and killed who are Americans, wear the red, white, and blue. The president made it clear, made it easily to understand, and maybe for the first time. Joining us now to discuss this is Robert O'Brien, the president's national security advisor, calling us from the White House. Welcome, Robert. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Brian. It's always great to be with you.
So tell me about the process that included both those accomplishments in the speech. Do you agree that it should have been in? And I really liked the way you did it. What was that process like?
Well, look, the speech was the president's and the policies have been the president's. And he loves this country and he loves Americans. And he's offended when Americans are taken hostage abroad. He's outraged when Americans are killed abroad. And one of the honors I had yesterday in my previous job as the Special Envoy for Hostage Affairs, I got to know Kayla's parents, Carl and Marsha Mueller, and they came over to my office in the White House before the State of the Union, and we had some time to sit together and talk about Kayla and what a wonderful, amazing life she led and what a great gal she was. And it was a real honor for me that they came to visit me before the speech. And I thought it was one of the high points of the speech when Carl stood up and Marsha stood up and he held a picture of his beautiful daughter for the world to see. That was a very special part of the speech.
So, I mean, there's risk with everything. When you take out al-Baghdadi, you thought them that'd be when you kill bin Laden, get al-Baghdadi. There were more inspirational leaders than tactical leaders, it seems. So you didn't know there would be backlash, but you say, is it worth it? I know for a fact that what I've read is true, that Gina Haspel, the CIA director, said killing Soleimani was worth it. What has happened since? We know about the attack on our base, and 51 men or women have some type of head trauma. But what has happened since? Has Iran changed behaviors?
Well, I was just in Europe with the president. We met with a number of leaders in the region, and every single leader, including leaders that may not have supported the strike, told us privately that it was a game changer and it was great for the Middle East, great for the prospect of peace. Soleimani was in the process of building a Persian empire from Lebanon through Syria, through Iraq, all the way down to Yemen, and the people of that region were suffering because of the things he was doing. He was also attacking Americans. And the President of the United States has made it very clear that if you attack Americans, if you seek to do harm to Americans, American justice will find you. Like, we've got too many people, Brian. We've got journalists. We've got business people. We've got lawyers. We've got academics. We have students. We have aid workers. We have our military personnel that are around the world doing great things to try and make the world a better place. We've got to make sure that folks know if you're thinking about harming those Americans who are around the world going about their business and trying to help people, if you harm them or seek to harm them, the United States is not going to stand for it.
So there's a couple things going on. The Russians seem to be running a lot of subs on our East Coast. We're looking to put another significant more amount of ships into our Navy. Are you getting concerned about that? Because they're also evidently in and around our satellites in space. Have you noticed a belligerent trend here, somewhat of an aggressive trend here among our Russians?
Well, one of the things that happened over the past 8 years before the president took office is that there were these drastic cuts in the size of the U.S. military, drastic cuts in our readiness, our ability to defend America. And the president has realized that we live in a dangerous world with big power competitors like China and Russia, and we've got to rebuild our Navy. I was with over at the Pentagon with Secretary Esper and our military leaders, General Milley, just yesterday, talking about how we're going to get the Navy fully rebuilt and funded. Space is a huge issue. The president and the vice president have both been all over that. We need to make sure that we can defend our satellites in space. And we're making the investments necessary to protect our assets. So, look, we believe in peace through strength. We think that weakness is provocative and encourages our adversaries to test us. We believe that strength will deter them. And so the president is working very hard to rebuild the American military that had been hollowed out prior to his coming into office.
Well, that's true, and you put billions in there, but the Navy, I think, to a degree, feels as though they don't have the money to get up to that threshold, 330-ship threshold, that they've been asked to get to. But that's something that I think you guys have to deal with, especially with this increased Russian presence, because they're fighting way above their weight. How they're able to do what they do, especially in Venezuela, and that was on the president's mind last night, because he brought Juan Guaido, our recognized leader of Venezuela, but Maduro still has the keys to that government. Cut 17.
As we restore American leadership throughout the world, we are once again standing up for freedom in our hemisphere. That's why my administration reversed the failing policies of the previous administration on Cuba. We are supporting the hopes of Cubans, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans to restore democracy. The United States is leading a 59-nation diplomatic coalition against the socialist dictator of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro.
Right, and the president goes on from there. But, you know, Mr. O'Brien, prior to you getting here, there was a big offensive. It seems to have failed and at least been stopped. We know that China, Russia, Iran, and Cuba are combining to keep this clown in power. How do we break the deadlock? Is it a priority?
Hey, Brian, it's a huge priority. You've nailed it. There are three governments that are keeping Maduro in power. It's Russia, it's China, and it's Cuba. Against almost all the free world, the entire hemisphere, other than Cuba and Nicaragua, that want freedom for the Venezuelan people. They have the richest country in Latin America. They've got tremendous resources, both human resources and natural resources and oil. And they've been shoved into terrible grinding poverty through Chavez and Maduro and their socialism. I thought last night one of the few instances of bipartisanship, and there should have been a lot more, and it was actually quite sad that there wasn't more bipartisanship from the floor. But one of the bipartisan moments was when Juan Guaido was introduced and the entire Congress came to its feet and saluted him. Not just because of him, but they saluted the Venezuelan people. I can tell you, we're working hard. I think you're going to see action taken over the next couple of weeks to put further pressure on those countries that are assisting the Maduro regime, which is illegitimate, and we're going to do what we can for the Venezuelan people. But this is the danger of socialism, and this is the danger of allowing great powers into our hemisphere, and we're going to continue to work that issue very hard.
I mean, the president is famously impatient, and I know that he thought this would go quicker. Do you feel the pressure of the president's impatience when it comes to Venezuela? Because, as you know better than anybody, those people are suffering, and the whole hemisphere is watching.
Well, the president said, look, this isn't our backyard. This is a rich country. These are wonderful people. He's met a lot of Venezuelans. The vice president has met a lot of Venezuelans. Many of them are living here, but they'd rather return home. They'd rather be in their homeland and enjoy democracy and enjoy the wealthy country that Venezuela could be if it hadn't been utterly destroyed by socialism and tyranny. So, look, the president's impatient. I think the Venezuelan people are impatient. And we're going to keep working this as hard as we can to try and get Juan Guaido into the presidential palace where he can help his people.
Would you offer a deal to get Maduro to another country, a soft landing somewhere that just gets the transition in place?
Look, I think Maduro would be very smart to go to some third country. I mean, I'm sure there's a villa in Cuba somewhere that he could go sit on the beach in Cuba. I think that would be in his interest. At some point, the Venezuelan people and the Venezuelan army are going to turn on him. He ought to leave while he can and go somewhere else, whether it's to a dock outside of Moscow or Beijing or Havana. But he ought to go to one of his friends' countries and live out his old age there.
Well, you're a master diplomat. If anyone could pull that off, you could, and I'll be very curious to see if you get in there directly. Robert, the other thing that's pretty hard to have missed was the ripping up of the president's speech by the Speaker of the House. Your reaction watching it?
You know, I didn't see it. I was in the chamber. I was chatting with people. Generally, people were clapping for the president. Folks were crowding around them, including some of the Democrats that didn't stand and cheer, but they wanted to get their picture with him or shake his hand afterwards. So I didn't see it live. Obviously, it's something that's disappointing. I'm sure the speaker, in retrospect, probably wishes she had not done that. That's just not the way for senior leaders to conduct themselves. I'm sure she's embarrassed about it. I'm sure she wishes she hadn't done it, irrespective of what she says. And look, she's a fellow Californian. I'm not going to pile on. I think she's been hammered pretty hard on having done that. And I just think it's unfortunate. We need to bring bipartisanship back to Washington, especially when it comes to foreign policy, and especially when it comes to a speech that honored so many American men and women who fought and died for our country, who honored now General McGee, the Tuskegee Airmen. To tear up a speech that honored these people is unfortunate. I'm sure the speaker wishes she had a do-over.
You are a diplomat, because I don't think she does want a do-over, but that's a very nice way to say it. I think she's happy about it, and I think many Democrats, sadly, are happy about it, but they should be embarrassed by it. Did the president intentionally not shake her hand?
You know, I didn't see that. I think, I've heard that. I was there in the chamber. I think he handed the speech to both Vice President Pence and to the speaker. I didn't see any intention not to shake her hand. I only heard about that later in the evening when I was on your friend Laura Ingraham's show and post the speech. So, I don't have any information on that. I'd be surprised if the president didn't shake a woman's hand. He's usually a gentleman under those circumstances. So I only heard about that later. I didn't see it happen.
But you don't think he intentionally avoided it?
Look, I'm sure there's not a lot of love lost between the speaker and the president. I mean, the president has endured a terrible thing over the past couple of months, and with this impeachment, I'm looking forward to the acquittal today, so that the president can. He's been working hard for the American people and getting more the accomplishments he's achieved during this unfair process have been enormous. And I think, as he said, are better. You know, we've only got better days ahead. I think the acquittal today is going to be great, and we're going to get back to the work of the American people and get even more wins, like the China trade deal, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, the taking out of terrorists that are threatening and killing Americans. And I think there are a lot of good things ahead of us. He accomplished all those while under this unfair process. I can only imagine how great things are going to be as we move forward.
But, Robert, one thing is present. I don't have to tell you this. Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who's been quite critical of the president, is still there. His twin brother, is still there. The whistleblower is still there. How are you supposed to have top-level conversations and calls knowing there's people on the other end, for lack of a better term, might be out to get you? Has anything changed in this process? Because you came into it late. You can't say that you're even responsible for it, but you do have to fix it.
Well, one of the things I said, Brian, when I first came into office, the National Security Council had become very bloated, primarily during the last administration, but we had not done a good enough job streamlining and reforming the NSC during the Trump administration. That's a process that I launched. It'll continue. It's ongoing. And what I've said is that we're going to go from the 236 policy professionals that were at the NSC under the Obama administration. We're going to go back to about 100 to 110 policy professionals like we did, like we had in the Bush administration. When you have a bloated bureaucracy and that's not helpful to the president. It doesn't help our cabinet agencies, and we're going to get that resolved. We're working on it, and I think very shortly we're going to reach our goals. And one of the thoughts is, like, if you work on the personal staff of the president of the United States, and the NSC is his personal foreign policy staff, folks come from other agencies, but if you can't abide by the president's policies, or you feel like you have to leak, or you feel like you have to go to the press, or you have to try and undermine the president and the policies that he was elected to implement by the American people, probably not the best place for you to serve is in the National Security Council. You probably can go back to your home agency and find something else to do. So, we've had lots of people leave, and this right-sizing effort will continue, and we'll get to where we need to be.
Right. It's not the people. They could leave. A lot of them want to stay and undermine. And I don't think I'm telling you that for the first time. So being that you're the national security advisor, how do you plan on at least stopping the enemy from getting within?
Well, listen, I don't want to call our fellow Americans the enemy and people that are working in government the enemy, but there are some people that have let the country down and that are a source of a lot of disappointment. And what we're trying to let folks know is, if you want to work at the NSC, you can check your politics at the door. And I for my best staffers, I don't know if they're Republicans or Democrats. What I want to know is, if they're people that can keep the president's confidences, that can keep our national secrets, that can maintain the sacred trust that the American people have put in, given them as they implement our policy. And if folks don't want to do that, and if they'd rather spend their time talking to the press or or leaking on the president or undermining our American foreign policy, then the best place for them isn't the White House. They should find somewhere else to work where they can find fulfillment and don't put our national security in danger.
The reviews have been pretty strong for the president. Even Chris Matthews said it was a really good speech. I mean, does he feel that way? You talked to him last night. I'm sure he wouldn't mind expressing it. Sometimes it's well reviewed, you didn't feel good. Sometimes the speech feels good, it doesn't get well reviewed. What was the president's attitude afterwards?
Yeah, I spoke with the president this morning, and I think the president is pumped up. I think he was very pleased with the speech. It was a strong speech. I told the president this morning that I've been watching these for a long time, since Ronald Reagan was running for president in 1976, and I think last night was one of the strongest political speeches I've ever seen. It was truly a tour de force. The interesting thing is, I was sitting with a lot of foreign ambassadors, and then I gave a speech to the diplomatic corps this morning, and the foreign ambassadors from other countries posted in Washington who were there for the speech, uniformly, as I spoke with them, said that was amazing. It's unbelievable what the American economy has done. It's unbelievable how strong the United States is. And I think the optimism in the speech really recalled, Ronald Reagan's great speeches when he talked about our better days being ahead of us, and appealing to the better angels. And then, it was really a tour de force. I was you're proud to be an American after you hear a speech like that.
Right. I know he's very happy that you're with him by his side. Thanks, Robert O'Brien. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Great being on the show. Take care.
All right. Talk to you again soon. We come back to your calls, 1-866-408-7669.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
This message is for anyone looking for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance, even if you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or taking anxiety meds. Here's an example. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe overweight with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost about $200 a month. We're Term Provider, experts in finding affordable term life insurance for those that may not be in perfect health. If you've had prostate cancer, heart conditions, high cholesterol, or on prescription medications, you may still qualify for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance. Get a quick quote by calling Term Provider at 800-511-3535. 800-511-3535. If you're looking for term life insurance but have type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, or have other health issues, call Term Provider at 800-511-3535 or visit termprovider.com. Termprovider.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Travis Stork. I want to tell you about one of my favorite supplements that I take every day, Qnol Turmeric. Qnol Turmeric may help with healthy joints and inflammation support. Unlike many regular turmeric supplements, Qnol's soluble formula offers superior absorption, which is very important to get more of the full benefits of turmeric. Qnol Turmeric is the brand I trust.
Consult with your doctor. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A Wisconsin Animal Shelter employee makes the Dean's List for using her crocheting skills to help a cat find its forever home. A stray cat named Lady in a Fur Coat was brought into the Dane County Humane Society with chronic ear infections and hematomas. The veterinarian team immediately conducted surgery on her ears, but since her condition was severe, they eventually opted to remove the outer layers of her ears. Lady made a full recovery from the surgery, but staffers worried that her changed appearance would deter potential adopters. That's when employee Ash Collins decided to make a fuzzy purple crocheted ears for Lady. After Ash bribed Lady with a number of head rubs and kitty treats, she managed to secure the sweet little bonnet onto Lady's head, and the results were adorable. When the photos were posted of Lady and her stylish new ears to social media, she was successfully adopted from the shelter. Thank you, Ash, and to Lady, we're glad you found a home. Your purple ears are awesome. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. It takes more than 20,000 genes to carry our human genetic code. Researchers have located 102 genes that are connected to autism. In what's described as a landmark study, researchers at Mount Sinai in New York sifted through tens of thousands of genetic samples to find these genes. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, around 1 out of 59 children are identified with an autism spectrum disorder, with symptoms that can range from mild, like problems like making eye contact, to severe, like difficulty communicating and aggressive behavior. Writing in the journal Cell, researchers say they've discovered autism is much more complex than they thought, but they hope the identification of these genes will give new understanding into what causes autism. They stress it has nothing to do with vaccines and hopefully will lead to new treatments. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
You know, I didn't really have a chance to talk about what's going on in Iowa. And look, Buttigieg or Sanders, either one could win it within percentage points. For Sanders, it was expected. For Buttigieg, it was not. Warren did a little bit better with 18%. Buttigieg, as of now, gets about 26. Sanders about 25, 26. The biggest story is Joe Biden, the sitting vice president of the United States, who started his no malarkey tour because he wanted to take a run at Iowa and was polling high, finished a distant fourth. Guess where he is in New Hampshire? A distant third. I mean, he's barely ahead of Klobuchar. He is with 15. He is well behind Bernie Sanders. And I ask you, even though he's doing fine in South Carolina for now, is there a tomorrow for Joe Biden, a terrible campaigner who's not bringing in a lot of money? All he has is a so-called experience and moderate label. I don't see it. It's beginning to fall apart. And for Buttigieg, a reason to be happy. We'll talk about that and more. Brian Kilmeade Show in D.C.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text RIP to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text RIP to 42424 right now. Text RIP to 42424. That's RIP to 42424.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
1961, television, thought to be pandering to the lowest common denominator for the sake of ad revenue, was coming under increased attack from all sides, most notably FCC Chairman Newton Minow in May of 1961.
When television is good, nothing. Not the theater, not the magazines or newspapers, nothing is better. But when television is bad, nothing is worse. I invite each of you to sit down in front of your own television set when your station goes on the air and stay there for a day without a book, without a magazine, without a newspaper, without a profit and loss sheet or a rating book to distract you. Keep your eyes glued to that set until the station signs off. I can assure you that what you will observe is a vast wasteland.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A politically emboldened President Trump is claiming an impeachment exoneration, deploying the verdict as a political anthem in his reelection bid. The president claims he did nothing wrong, decrying the witch hunt as an extension of the special counsel Robert Mueller's probe into the alleged Russian 2016 campaign interference by those out to get him from the start of his presidency. Speaker Nancy Pelosi said regardless of the Senate vote, the president is forever impeached, but not so, says former Trump advisor and Salem Radio Network talk host Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Of course, he was never going to be removed, and now he will be acquitted forever.
An American has died from the coronavirus in China, one of the 811 confirmed deaths of the fast-moving bug.
The U.S. Embassy in Beijing said in a brief statement, a 60-year-old American citizen was confirmed to have been infected by the coronavirus and has died at a hospital in Wuhan, a Chinese city at the center of the outbreak. It said it would have no further comment out of respect for the family's privacy. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The new number surpasses the fatalities in the 2002-2003 SARS epidemic as other governments are stepping up efforts to block the disease. Some 2,656 new cases have been reported Sunday. That's fewer than on the previous day, something experts see as a sign that the virus's spread may be slowing. SARS had killed 774 people and sickened 8,098, mainly in mainland China and Hong Kong. Elsewhere, France closed two schools after five British visitors contracted the virus at a ski resort. South Korea reported in one new case, while the Philippines flew home 30 of its citizens from the city at the center of the outbreak. A soldier who killed at least 21 people, injured 42 others, fatally shot inside a mall in Korat, Thailand, Sunday. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Imagine your cell phone is a voting booth. Every time you use your cell phone, you're voting for open borders, for gun confiscation, and for impeachment. That call to your mother just voted for abortion. Let that sink in. That is what you're doing when you spend money with the big mobile companies. Patriot Mobile is America's only cell service that donates a portion of your monthly bill to organizations fighting for values you believe in the right to bear arms, the sanctity of life, religious freedom, and our vets. Right now, switch to Patriot Mobile and get a free month when you open a new line of service. That's right, get a free month of service. Switching to Patriot Mobile is easy. You can keep your number, bring your own phone, or buy a new one and get reliable nationwide service. Visit patriotmobile.com/Gorka, G-O-R-K-A, or call 877-367-7524. Again, patriotmobile.com/Gorka, G-O-R-K-A, or 877-367-7524. Patriot Mobile, mobilizing freedom with every call you make.
Federal investigators say the helicopter that crashed, killing Kobe Bryant, was 100 feet from clear skies. We get the latest from correspondent Mike Rossia.
The pilot of the helicopter that crashed on January 26th, killing Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, and seven others, appears to have experienced spatial disorientation. The National Transportation Safety Board said Friday veteran pilot Ara Zaboyan told air traffic control he was climbing to 4,000 feet to get out of thick clouds. But the NTSB says the helicopter ascended to only 2,300 feet before entering a high-speed descent and left turn. The helicopter slammed into a hillside at more than 180 miles per hour. Camera footage reviewed later showed the helicopter was just 100 feet from the top of the clouds when it went into the dive. I'm Mike Rossia.
Check out breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. California utilities plan to continue shutting off power to customers during dry and windy conditions to prevent sparking deadly wildfires.
But they aim to make the outages more targeted to avoid widespread blackouts, according to plans filed Friday with the state. Plans by the state's three largest investor-owned utilities and wildfire mitigation plans would build on efforts made last year to reduce the risk their equipment would cause deadly infernos. The thrust of the plans is to expand vegetation trimming that can cause a fire when it strikes electrical equipment and fortify power lines to make them less likely to throw sparks or become vulnerable to fire damage. Patrick Frost reporting.
Ford is shaking up its management, and after a poor fourth-quarter financial performance and the botched launch of an Explorer SUV, the company says the automotive president Jim Hendricks will retire effective on March the 1st. Check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
We'll begin in 1 minute. The Brian Kilmeade Show will begin in 30 seconds. Enjoy. Radio studios in New York City, fresh off the set of Fox and Friends. It's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Brian Kilmeade. Thanks so much for listening. 1-866-408-7669. We've got a busy show, obviously, coming your way. My goodness, State of the Union, impeach exoneration. There's all types of challenges around the globe, and we have the challenge of New Hampshire and the challenge of Iowa. Counting. Just counting. And I'm not insulting the people of Iowa because they're some of the finest people around. But I just think the process has got to go. I mean, enough with the caucus. It's first. I'm glad. You want that tradition? I want that tradition. So leave it. I'm not into blowing that up. And I like small states that have big impact. I get it. But just let's go back to going into the booth and hitting a lever, please. Because I would like to know who won. I'll tell you who lost. Joe Biden. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three. I do not believe that the House has met its burden of showing that the president's conduct, however flawed, warrants the extreme step of immediate removal from office.
That is Susan Collins adding to the people who are on the president's side. The acquittal train is pulling into the station just as the president's approval rating hits a new high. Winners, losers, and insight into how the vote will go.
Number two.
The good news is that we'll never have to pay attention to the Iowa caucus again. It has always been so not a part of the American tapestry. I mean, it's fun, it's nice people out there and everything like that. It's truly not representative of the rest of the country.
Mike Barnicle talking about the Iowa caucus chaos. Apologies for failure not accepted by Democrats, even though Tom Perez is ultimately responsible because he runs it. Surprising results are slowly coming in. It's becoming clear. An epic fail for Joe Biden, a major win for a small town mayor, and a socialist senator.
Number one.
I am thrilled to report to you tonight that our economy is the best it has ever been. Our military is completely rebuilt. The state of our union is stronger than ever before.
State of the Union. State of the Union, a strong speech with drama off the charts, along with scripted and unscripted moments of drama. We'll review it, and let's do it with Stephen Hayes. Stephen Hayes is an extremely important person, and he has the title now of co-founder of The Dispatch. Go to thedispatch.com and find out what you don't know. Stephen, welcome back.
Hey, Brian. Good to be with you.
I tell you, I really love the speech. I love the nuances to it. I like the introductions. I like, don't just say it's good to kill Soleimani or Baghdadi. Talk about the carnage that it's in their wake. Did you?
Yeah, I thought this was one of the president's better speeches. As you pointed out in your intro, high on drama, high on production value. You know, there were moments, of course, where the president exaggerated things and went too far, I thought. But overall, really good speech. And I think he can give a good speech because the president is maybe as strong as he's been at any point in office right now, whether you're looking at it from approval ratings, whether you're looking at it from things that he's accomplished. He's at a strong moment. He's at a high moment in the Trump presidency right now.
And now think about this. You're saying this while impeachment's been going on really since September. And you're sitting there because you saw Gallup, 49% approval rating. The economy is going strong. Yesterday, my goodness, I think the market went up 500 points. So, I mean, there's a lot going right. But at the same time, do you have to sometimes sober yourself up to understand we're also going through historic impeachment?
Yeah, I do. And look, I mean, I have, as you and I have discussed before, I have real problems with what the president did. I mean, I don't think the call was perfect. I don't think it was close. I think he made some serious errors of judgment. And so while, you know, it's obvious to me that a lot of Americans don't agree with that, I think there are a lot of Americans who do find what he did troubling. And you're seeing that in some of the mixed comments you see from Republican senators. Hey, look, we shouldn't remove the guy from office for this, but the call was not perfect, and there were some troubling aspects to his behavior.
However, to me, it's why you don't vote for him. It's not why you impeach him. I mean, this, you have a hearing, you talk about it. Adam Schiff is the feature on Special Report, and he comes out, and there's a counter-narrative. And it, just like killing of Soleimani, just like getting out of the Iran nuclear deal, that's one of the reasons you vote or don't vote for him, whether you gauge his foreign policy as a 9 or a 2.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things he did well last night was not dwell on this. I mean, it had to be tempting. You and I, by anybody who's listening, has watched the president. We know that he doesn't like to let accusations go unanswered. We know he likes to you know, poke a sharp elbow at his critics, and yet he resisted the temptation to bring up impeachment, to dwell on it, to talk about it. And he made the speech, certainly there were some sharp moments where he went after Democrats, went after their statist tendencies, and took shots where he needed to take shots. But it was also a positive speech. I mean, he did spend a lot of time patting himself on the back, saying, you know, these are the things that I've accomplished. These are the reasons that these things that I've accomplished have mattered. And I think for people watching the speech, even if you came in skeptical of the president, it was a pretty good performance.
Okay. Overall, the people are talking about the president not shaking the speaker's hand. Her introduction did not say it's my esteemed honor, Speaker of the House, to welcome the 45th President of the United States, President Trump. Instead, it was, here's the President of the United States. And then when he walked up to hand in his speech to her in an envelope, he did not shake her hand. So that ended with her ripping up the speech. Your thoughts about all three things?
Yeah, just childish all around, right? I mean, you want more out of your public officials than this kind of stuff. This is the kind of behavior I would expect from my three-year-old. It's not appropriate. You wish that they would rise above, have sharp and strong disagreements over policy and substance, and leave this kind of silliness to the side.
And are you surprised that you would rip up a document in full view and make that the story? Do you think that shows a frustration of an impeachment process she probably, if she, in hindsight, shouldn't have embarked on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, and I've seen speculation that, you know, she ripped up the speech because the president's speech was so good and so powerful, she wanted people to be talking about the fact that she ripped up the speech rather than the substance of what the president said. I have no insight. I've done no reporting to check that out. I just think it's unfortunate that she would do something like that in such a public way. It's really sort of, it's just silly. I mean, it is really childish. Okay. And you watch it and you're like, you know, really? Is that where we are as a country, that these are the kinds of things that our leaders are doing to one another?
It's unbelievable. It's embarrassing around the globe. But now I'll bring you to something that will test you a little bit. You know, for the longest time, the president, the Republicans wrongly got this got this label of party of the rich. And when it became to unions and blue collar workers, that was Democrats. You know, they were for free trade, were Republicans. The Democrats were for breaking these free trade agreements. Donald Trump has mixed things up a little to the point where he actually said this, cut 7.
Since my election, the net worth of the bottom half of wage earners has increased by 47%, three times faster than the increase for the top 1%. After decades of flat and falling incomes, wages are rising fast, and wonderfully, they are rising fastest for low-income workers who have seen a 16% pay increase since my election. This is a blue-collar boom.
Steve, the wages are going up. You know, there yep. is a sense that the rising ship is the rising water is raising all ships, and every ship, big and small. Do you get the sense that the president's not overstating that, is he?
Yeah, so I didn't fact check the specific example that you just played there, but I mean, he's right about the wages. There's no question about it. The numbers bear that out, and it's very interesting to watch Democrats react to the president making those claims. I mean, if you look at the statement, the talking points that Democrats distributed before the speech, they went at him hammer and tongs on the economy. And I just think that's a losing argument for Democrats at this point. I mean, the economy is doing well. It's been doing well for a while. The president overstates it. He says, you know, it's the best economy in the history of the country. It's not. He says the unemployment is lower than it's ever been. That's not true.
Close, though.
It's the biggest tax cut we've ever had. That's not true. Reagan's was three times bigger. He says these things that aren't true. He exaggerates. We sort of price that in now. But why Democrats are going after him and pretending that the economy isn't good and that people don't feel good about the economy is absolutely perplexing to me. I don't know where they think they're going to get those votes from people who feel that way, because there aren't enough of them to turn the election towards Democrats.
Yeah, I know. And then that's what Gretchen Whitmer's whole rebuttal was about. They're not the economy for everyone, only for the rich. Well, we're going to have a verdict on that. If she is telling the truth, the president will get routed. If he's telling the truth, he's going to have a bigger win, more substantial than the 30 states he won last time. So let's switch to Iowa. How embarrassing is this? Troy Price, the chairman of the Iowa Democratic Party, tries to make sense of it. Cut 43.
The reporting of the results and circumstances surrounding the 2020 Iowa Democratic Party caucuses were unacceptable. As chair of the party, I apologize deeply for this. Last night, we were faced with multiple reporting challenges and decided, out of an abundance of caution, to protect the integrity of the Iowa caucuses and their results by taking the necessary steps to review and confirm the data.
They were told on that Thursday the app wasn't working. They were offered by Homeland Security to run a test on it first. They ignored the Thursday warning, and they told the Homeland Security, "Don't bother, we got this." So that's an unacceptable apology.
Totally. I completely agree with you. Look, there was an NPR story about these problems, problems related to the app and related to the technology on January 14th. And this is not a new thing. You had precinct captains calling in to the state party and saying, we have no idea how this thing can work. Even as the day wore on, they could see in real time that they didn't have people tapping in. They didn't have people who were able to get on to the app itself, in part because of the two-factor verification. So this is a total disaster. I think we've seen the obvious mistake. The obvious mistake was the problems with the app and the inability to deliver results. The secondary mistake, and I think it's almost as important, is just how poorly they've communicated about this and what they've done in the hours and days since. The idea that you would put out partial results after you failed to deliver a serious caucus in the first place is bananas. You don't put out 62% of the results. What are the candidates going to do then? Go around in New Hampshire and campaign that they're the temporary leader? You know, I'm the leader right now. How do you do this? It's just insane.
I never thought about that, but that's even a bigger blunder. So you look at some of the results. One thing we can say is a big win for the South Bend mayor, Buttigieg. The fact that he's first or second doesn't bother him. It doesn't matter. The fact that he's on top, polls had it so wrong, is significant. Sanders walked away. He's about to win again in New Hampshire. Warren scored better than usual, better than many thought. But Biden, a distant fourth. Your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I think the story is Biden, a distant fourth, right? That's the big story here. This is somebody who came in. He's a former vice president. He brought with him big chunks of the Obama coalition. He had better name ID than anybody in the field, and he flopped. It didn't work. People don't want him, at least people in Iowa. And I think that the problem for Biden is if you look forward, there's not a lot of sunshine ahead if you're Joe Biden. I don't think he's likely to do well in New Hampshire. Nevada is a place where he could do okay. South Carolina is supposed to be his firewall, but there was a poll out from the Post and Courier down in South Carolina this past weekend that showed that Sanders had cut Biden's lead to about 5 points. And Joe Biden at one point commanded 45% of the votes of South Carolina Democrats, and you've now got Bernie Sanders within 5 points. That's really problematic for the vice president and former vice president, and that's what I'd be worried about if I were him. There's just no enthusiasm for the guy right now, and I think it's hard to imagine he can build that starting now.
So you're writing the Dispatch. I'm sitting here in Fox. That's significant. I think our opinions matter. But David Axelrod, who knows Biden well, said this. Cut 49.
Biden has a big problem. Mm-hmm. He has a big problem. His campaign manager some time ago said they would be viable in 95% of the state. Yep. They expected to do much better. And the big problem he has is not only the deficiencies it showed in his appeal, but he is dead broke and he needs to raise money. Yeah. And it's hard to raise money off of an anemic fourth place finish. So he needs to revive himself in New Hampshire, or this firewall that everybody talks about in South Carolina may just not be there.
Want to weigh in, Steve?
Yeah, his cash on hand numbers are anemic, as David Axelrod said. And here's the other important detail. Remember, Joe Biden shifted a bunch of his TV ad funding to Iowa, in part from New Hampshire. So he saw that he was going down in Iowa, pushed some of his chips in on Iowa, and then didn't do well. So he's got fewer resources to rebuild or to try to build some kind of support. I think David Axelrod is exactly right on that.
Yeah, I think he's done. And I just think, well, here's the main reason. He's a terrible candidate. He can't get through 20 minutes to make any sense. When people challenge him, he snaps. He has no answer to his son's antics in the Ukraine and the shady investment in China. He will lose, and he only has himself to blame. And maybe it's just age has passed him by, but I actually don't think he was much better 20 years ago. Stephen Hayes, good luck with the Dispatch.com. It's great to sit back there and just tell all the reporters to do the things you used to.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great. You and Jonah Goldberg. We're going to be back with your phone calls, 1-866-408-7669. We're going to be taking your calls and welcoming even more guests on this historic edition of the Brian Kilmeade Show in D.C.
Expanding your knowledge base is Brian Kilmeade.
This message is for anyone looking for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance, even if you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or taking anxiety meds. Here's an example. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe overweight with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term life insurance may only cost about $200 a month. We're Term Provider, experts in finding affordable term life insurance for those that may not be in perfect health. If you've had prostate cancer, heart conditions, high cholesterol, or on prescription medications, you may still qualify for $500,000 to $1 million or more of affordable term life insurance. Get a quick quote by calling Term Provider at 800-511-3535. 800-511-3535. If you're looking for term life insurance but have type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, or have other health issues, call Term Provider at 800-511-3535 or visit termprovider.com. Termprovider.com.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
This is Fox on Justice. There's another battle ahead for President Trump, and the battlefield will be the Supreme Court. The justices have agreed to hear cases that focus on demands for access to the president's financial records, including his tax returns. One case started when Manhattan's district attorney asked for records related to allegations that then-candidate Trump paid two women to keep quiet about affairs. The president has denied these allegations. He's declined to release his tax returns, repeatedly saying they're under audit. The other case comes from House committees looking for documents from his accounting firm and from two banks, Capital One and Deutsche Bank. The committees are investigating possible foreign influence and whether President Trump has lied about his finances. The president's lawyers argue the House has no authority to investigate the president's personal finances. The Supreme Court will hear these arguments at the end of March. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
I'm Ashley DeVorco on the Fox Celebrity Profile with Will Arnett, host of Fox's competition show premiering February 5th, Lego Masters.
The winning team ends up as having the title Lego Master, which is pretty cool. Just for bragging rights alone is cool. We've got 3 million-plus pieces here on set, and the teams come on, and we give them all these insane challenges.
The challenges vary, and so does Arnett's hosting responsibilities.
We have everything where they have to build bridges that withstand crazy amounts of weight, or we ask them to build things, and then we're going to destroy them a certain way, either with a baseball bat, which is my favorite, because I get to do it.
Nice.
Right? It seems, doesn't that sound like
a fun part of the job? Arnett has been involved with the Lego brand for almost 10 years as part of the Lego movies. And yes, he does get recognized for his Batman voice now.
I was doing this thing, and there were all these kids in this scene, and as I was talking to the kids, this one little girl says, "You sound like Lego Batman." And I was like, funny you should mention that.
Ashley DeVorkin, Fox News.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1971. Charles Manson.
It came about by not having a family, by being born without a father. I'm on the wrong side of the law the minute I was born, and I stand strong inside of it.
The district attorney's office and I personally and the Los Angeles Police Department are all exceedingly happy with this verdict. We expected the verdict, but until that clerk reads the verdict, you never know.
I think the public's reaction has been, we did need to know this information. We had a right to know it.
Jim was buried in a simple ceremony with only a few friends present because those of us who knew him intimately wanted to avoid all the notoriety and circus-like atmosphere that surrounded the deaths of such other rock personalities.
I'd just like to say before we start off with the concert that to thank you all for coming here.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
talking about the State of the Union address with you. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
America is a land of heroes. This is a place where greatness is born, where destinies are forged, and where legends come to life. This is the home of Thomas Edison and Teddy Roosevelt, of many great generals, including Washington, Pershing, Patton, and MacArthur. This is the home of Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, Amelia Earhart, Harriet Tubman, the Wright brothers, Neil Armstrong, and so many more. This is the country where children learn names like Wyatt Earp, Davy Crockett, and Annie Oakley. This is the place where the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth, and where Texas Patriots made their last stand at the Alamo.
And that would be the perfect time for him to say, by the way, Brian Kilmeade has a great book out called Sam Houston, the Alamo Avengers. Why don't you think he did that? I don't get it. Like, why did he miss that opportunity? He had a good speech except for that moment. That would have been so, how great would that have been if he had said that? That would have been unbelievable. 1-866-408-7669. Let's go out to MJ, listening online in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, MJ.
Good morning. How you doing, Brian?
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Okay, so what's on my mind is, after that beautiful State of the Union, I was trying to look away from, of course, Miss Pelosi sitting behind, and she just absolutely had to steal the show with the ripping of the documents, the official documents, because the House was gaveled in. So I was wondering if she realized, or is it possible, because you are a historian, that will she be arrested and also held or fined and jailed for each piece of paper? Because isn't that under 18 U.S. Code 2071, mutilation of
none of that's going to happen. But she looks clownish and petty. She's almost 80 years old. I've given up allowing her to grow up. But my feeling for Nancy Pelosi, she has a lot of regrets, but she'll never admit it. Back in just a moment. Frank.
Is back. The award-winning journalist returns with an unflinching look at the border crisis.
What I care about is one thing, the truth.
And she's taking on the mainstream media, tackling the issues that matter to America, one story at a time.
We see this, but we don't ever see where they go.
We don't know what they've been through just to get here. You can see it on their faces.
I know. This is me at my core.
These guys are runners. They're not going to give themselves up.
It's all happening pretty fast. But I guess this is what you're used to.
You okay?
Yes.
They portray us as villains. That's not the case. And we all have families. We're here to protect our borders, protect our country.
Having the freedom to take on tough subjects and tell it like it is, that's what we have at Fox Nation. That's what sets us apart.
No bias, no nonsense. Lara Logan has no agenda. The must-see docuseries is available now, only on Fox Nation. Start your free trial at foxnation.com.
It's almost Valentine's Day, and it's the perfect time to get the Fox News fan in your life a gift they'll cherish forever. Fox News gear. Go to shop.foxnews.com and use code radio at checkout for free shipping on your first order. Fox News hats, t-shirts, mugs, jackets, travel mugs, and so much more. Go to shop.foxnews.com and use code radio at checkout for free shipping on your first order. That's shop.foxnews.com, and be sure to use code radio at checkout for free shipping on your first order. Happy Valentine's Day from all of us at Fox News Channel. Phil Hemmer reports weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Moving to the town of Chaldea. These are complex times. They need to be understood in more than just a soundbite.
We're in central Hanoi, just a few blocks.
When people's lives are affected, it's important to be fast, but it's most important to be right.
Boston is a city in shock.
Information has never moved faster than it does today. It is our job to cut through it.
Bill Hemmer reports weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, only on the Fox News Channel. It's almost Valentine's Day, and it's the perfect time to get the Fox News fan in your life a gift they'll cherish forever. Fox News gear. Go to shop.foxnews.com and use code radio at checkout for free shipping on your first order. Fox News hats, t-shirts, mugs, jackets, travel mugs, and so much more. Go to shop.foxnews.com and use code radio at checkout for free shipping on your first order. That's shop.foxnews.com, and be sure to use code radio at checkout for free shipping on your first order. Happy Valentine's Day from all of us at Fox News Channel. Bill Hemmer reports weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Moving to the town of Chaldea.
These are complex times. They need to be understood in more than just a soundbite.
We're in central Hanoi, just a few blocks.
When people's lives are affected, it's important to be fast, but it's most important to be right.
Boston is a city in shock.
Information has never moved faster than it does today. It is our job to cut through it.
Bill Hemmer reports weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, only on the Fox News Channel.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Aaron Copland, who died in 1990, was an American composer of concert and film music who touched the heart of America and merged the classics with the truly American art form of jazz. As music trends were changing with the advent of rock and pop music in the 50s and 60s, Copland was open and excited about where music was headed.
If we thought that music should have flow, a kind of naturalness of flow, the younger people may think they should be just the opposite. It should be discontinuous. It has too much flow, and that the flow is too same-like, etc., etc. So that every possible principle that I might name to you, they can give you the very opposite idea as a possibility. I think it's more revolutionary now, and therefore more difficult for the young people to find themselves.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
Volunteers who take time out of their day to read to seniors makes today's Dean's List. A simple yet powerful program in the UK has been fighting elderly isolation by recruiting young adults as volunteers to read to seniors with vision problems and dementia. Lorna Burnett is one of those that has benefited from the program, having her vision restored by 15-year-old Ailsa, a schoolgirl who was paired with Lorna through the Reading Friends Project. Lorna used to read 2 to 3 books a week until she found herself unable to read or watch television. Her reading sessions with Ailsa have helped her immensely, especially feeling like she's not alone. Since the Reading Agency launched their program, they have rolled out dozens of one-on-one and group Reading Friends sessions across Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and England. Thank you, Ailsa, and all the young men and women helping with the Reading Friends project. You're making a difference, one book at a time. Janice Dean, Fox News.
A talk show that's real. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong. Nor do I like people who say, I pray for you, when they know that that's not so. So many people have been hurt, and we can't let that go on.
That is the President of the United States speaking from the heart, and you know that's exactly how he feels. He's referring to Mitt Romney coming out and saying he's a very faithful person. That's why he wants to keep voting for the president to be ousted from office. I don't believe it, because it's the same thing he said at a press conference 3 years ago. And number two, with that's the President of the United States 15 minutes ago with Nancy Pelosi sitting four feet away. And he's saying she prays for him every day. You know she doesn't. She doesn't hate him. You know she does. With me right now, a person that really knows religion, former pastor of a church himself, Governor Mike Huckabee, who knows Mitt Romney, knows the president, and knows what it's like to truly pray for people. Governor, welcome.
Thank you, Brian. And, Brian, I'm going to be praying for you. I just feel like I've got to do that. Lord knows you need it, and I need the practice. So we're all covered, man.
Well, I know you mean it. Do you really believe that Nancy – how do you feel about the president opening up the prayer breakfast and saying that?
You know, I think the president has behaved remarkably well in all of this, better than I think most of us would, because he's been the object of a relentless, personal, hateful attack highly partisan, intended to destroy him on a personal level, not just a political attack. We all have those in politics. But it's come now to when people can't win an election, instead of saying, okay, we're going to come up with better policies and ideas,
yeah,
now they want to destroy the people who beat them. That's not how the system is supposed to work. You're supposed to say, hey, I lost this time. Next time, I'm going to go work harder. I'm going to put better ideas out there, and we're going to win. That's not what's happening. These folks are saying, we didn't win. Our ideas stunk, and we're not going to get any better ideas. Actually, they're going to get worse. But we're going to destroy the other side and try to personally take them apart so they can't govern. That's a frightening thing to happen in the Constitutional Republic.
So I'm going to just tell you what's happening right now. The president just concluded his remarks, and I'll bring back a few of them. But he only walked over to the right. He didn't walk over to the left where Nancy Pelosi is. 2 days ago, she took his script, and she ripped it up. Possibly, we haven't heard the president comment directly. He blew off her handshake. She definitely put her hand out, but the president didn't shake vice president's hand anyway. So maybe it was redemption. We found out she was making little slivers in the pages so she could rip it like a child before. So he did not go to the other side of the dais. Is that an unchristian thing to do?
You know, it may be an honest thing to do. I think sometimes there's a difference between being Christian and being phony. You don't want to be a phony. I think for him to pretend that somehow everything is sweet and cool between he and Nancy would be disingenuous. Would it be nice for him to go over? Maybe. But it would be probably very difficult. And if he couldn't do it in good conscience, if he couldn't go over and believe that she entertained his gesture, maybe he's doing her a favor by not putting her on the spot. I might enjoy going over and just looking her square in the eye. I think the handshake thing at the State of the Union has been overblown. I've watched that tape now many times. It appears to me that when he went up there, he handed both of them the speech. He did not shake Pence's hand. And after he handed it to her, he quickly turned away. And if you look at the video from his right as he's making the turn, I don't think he saw her hand extended. I truly don't. If he did, he should have shaken her hand. But I don't think he saw it. I think he just handed her the speech. He didn't shake Pence's hand because that wasn't his purpose. I think people need to remember that if there was anything petty in the beginning, it was that she did not follow the normal protocol for the introduction, where she says, it's my privilege and high honor to present to you the president. She just said, the president, and that was it. First time in history that's ever happened. And that was clearly a snub, an intentional desire to sort of just stick it to him. But it didn't come on.